Looking as a hero to the morning light.
No, no. I'm holding out for a hero.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's much better. At least three octaves lower than where you were. So, I just got finished watching The Way Homer of the Django Unchained, which is on needcoffee.com. And it is presented by Widget Walls. Have you ever heard of him?
I have not, no.
Okay, well, here's the idea. He goes and sees a movie. And then he gets in the car. I'm with you so far.
Okay, yeah, he gets in the car. Gotcha.
And he pretends like he's talking just to a camera, even though there's someone holding the camera.
Okay, gotcha so far.
And he describes a real basic synopsis of the story and then what he thought of the movie.
Okay, you've lost me. He does what now?
He talks.
Uh-huh.
Verbally. Not like with hand signals.
So he's talking down to people?
Yes. Yes, usually. Because he's that kind of guy. But then he talks about the movie.
The movie that he just saw. Right?
Correct. And he rates it.
Wait, okay, you've lost me again. He rakes movies.
Yes, he rakes them over the coals.
Okay.
But at the end, he says how good they are on a scale of 1 to 5.
Okay, so he's going fishing and he's scaling fish.
Scaling the movie.
Oh.
It's like he's cleaning the movie.
So he sees big fish and Jaws.
I think he saw big fish, yes.
And then he scales them.
He I didn't see big fish.
No, I don't think he missed all that much.
All right. Is he skinning? What kind of fish? Catfish?
Movie fish.
Oh.
So how accurate was he?
I think he was light on the scale. He gave it 4 out of 5 cups.
You think it deserved 5?
I think it definitely deserved 4.5. It was great. He was like, yeah, catch it in the matinee. It's good enough for the big screen, but catch it on the matinee. I'm like, even though I caught it on a matinee, with retrospect, I'd go see it again, and I'd pay full price.
I would, too.
For which movie? Big Fish?
The Django Unchained.
Oh, Django?
There's no D. No D, hillbilly.
The Django.
The D is
Django
silent, hillbilly.
Unchained.
The D is silent, hillbilly.
Django Unchained. John and I went and saw it a couple days ago, and it was pretty damn fantastic.
Yeah, that's awesome. Awesome blossom.
So there's that.
Yeah. Yes, there is that.
Now we're just waiting for TV to start back up.
Oh, you didn't miss something.
Except there was really...
What? Like tuberculosis? To start back
no,
up?
No, that's TB.
Right, that's what I thought you said.
I said TV. Television.
Yeah. Gotta make your consonants clearer.
Okay, the New Year's resolution will be make everything clearer. I guess. That was horrible. How was everyone's holiday? Now that we're back.
It was nice. Mine was nice.
Yeah, mine was fine.
I was in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah. Yeah.
I saw snow.
For the first time?
Snow, you didn't.
Well, you saw it on that mount. What is that? What is that mountain out there?
Well, there's a couple, but
there's a couple.
The
like Mount Hood.
The area is Mount Hood.
Hood, yeah. Don't go. Don't. Here you go, people. Here's a tip. You can't climb Mount Hood after November. You will freeze. Just saying.
You know, that brings up a thought. What if people had other questions that they wanted to ask you? How would they do that?
They can call the Help Me Rocks line at Let Me Find It. 404-302-0769. You can call.
Say it again.
404 382-0769. So, yes, the first Help Me Rocks advice, don't climb Mount Hood after November. It's bad news. Actually, I think what the last time somebody went missing was actually in October, wasn't it?
It wasn't all that long ago. They had some, while I was there, they found some hikers who had gotten lost and spent the night
huddled
in the wilderness.
Oh. But these are, you know, don't climb to the peak. Do not climb to the peak. I am saving your life right now.
Good old rocks.
Yep, I try. I try.
What do you think about that, John Boutel?
What's that?
Saving people's lives with every
one person rocks, at a time.
Yeah, with every rocks of Help Me Rocks episode, we help somebody.
She's kind of like Sam Beckett in Quantum Leap, but she doesn't leap anywhere.
No, I don't.
She goes about trying to fix.
It's the slacker version of Quantum Leap. Oh, no. Just tell me the problems. Oh, my God. It's like Nero Wolfe. Do you know? Are you familiar with the crime-solving detective Nero Wolfe?
I am not.
Okay. I'll probably get this wrong. He was a detective in the 20s, fictional, and he never left his room. So he had this, flunky go out and get all the details, and Nero Wolfe, usually a big guy that I don't know, he's probably agoraphobic, you know, he'll solve the case while not leaving his apartment. But I could look that up to make sure I'm, you know, correct, but you know, I'll say it with conviction, and that's what he does. So it's like that. I'm a Nero Wolfe. I don't have to, you know, it's like a slacker version of Quantum Leap. All the problems come to me and I don't have to go anywhere. Because you really don't want me showing up on your doorstep, people. It wouldn't be good. Just saying.
Oh, hold on.
John left. John has left the building. So what'd you get for Christmas?
I didn't get all that much. Christmas was a light affair this year.
Nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. One of the cooler gifts I got was a Portland Republic of Beer t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff.
That's cool.
Yes, I was happy with that. I got new earbuds for running that are water resistant, so if I get caught in the rain again, I won't destroy another pair.
What kind?
Hopefully.
What kind you get?
I think that they're JVC.
Uh-huh.
Over the ear.
Right. I like those. I have Shure's. I went for the high-end model Shure's.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah.
All that money,
yeah. Thrown away. But I listen to mine all the time, so that's how I...
Well, it's funny. I have a set of earbuds at work that are Sony that I really like, but I don't like them for exercising because they're in-ear, not over-ear.
Mm-hmm.
When I'm exercising and running, I like over-ear because they tend not to squirm around on me.
Mm, yeah.
So, what do you think about that, John? Still no John, huh?
No, still no John. Mine are kind of cool because they now, because they're high end and they're pissy expensive, they've made it so that the ear part, because all the drivers are in the ear portion and then it sticks in, that the wires that connect to your iPod actually disconnect. Because that is like the number one thing that fails on headphones are the wires, and especially like you and I, since I bike and stuff, you know, your sweat actually, this is gross, but it eats through, you know, the plastic lining and stuff, and it gets all manky and it winds up breaking down. you know, the wire. So with these, you keep the earpiece and you just get a replacement wire.
Wow, that is pretty high end.
Yeah, it's pretty high end.
Hey, while we're waiting for everyone, you want to play a game of Star Wars Mad Libs?
Yeah.
Yes.
Is it that letter from Alec Guinness? Did you guys see that?
No.
Oh my gosh, it's on io9, but well, John, let John cue that up then.
All right, we have the power of the force, or, well, we have a bunch of them, but, or the power of the dark side by Emperor Palpatine. Which one do you want?
Power of the dark side.
What were you going to say, sir?
I said you pick. Oh. I was deferring to the lady.
All right, I need a noun.
A noun.
Box.
Yeah, sounds good.
Adjective?
Hasty?
Mm-hmm.
Noun?
Cat.
Okay, good.
Plural noun?
Ooh, cats. No. Homeless people.
Braziers.
Oh, okay, yeah, that'll work.
If I knew how to spell braziers, that'd be fantastic. Verb ending
in
bras or man's ears.
Verb ending in ing.
Ing? Fucking.
Masturbating.
Okay, or that.
Whichever you'd prefer.
Just, yeah. Because, you know, masturbating is Satan's typewriter, apparently.
The more you know.
I do more words a minute.
I know.
So Satan's word processor is
an adjective.
Well, if masturbation is the typewriter, come on, we're thinking advances forward.
Right.
No, I mean, I need an adjective.
Give an adjective. Just throw one out there, Tuffley. Come on. You have to write letters and things.
No, yeah. I don't.
Well, pretend you have to. We're waiting.
On you.
On you.
On me.
Yes! An adjective! Come on! Hurry up before Scott answers!
Hey, Scott, what's an adjective?
No, he'll give us the definition.
Wait, what?
P is
he hasn't read that book either.
Give us an
green.
Adjective.
Green is an adjective.
Flighty.
Okay,
an adverb.
Wait, Mad Libs. An adverb?
Yes.
Which one's that? I forgot. What's the adverb?
I don't know.
Is that the one in L-Y?
That's something that ends in L-Y, yeah.
All right. Skankly.
Honestly,
skankly.
Skankfully.
Skankly.
I'm not sure that's a word, but okay.
It's a word. Sure. Just put it down. It's Mad Libs. You know, you make up words anyway with this stuff.
Adjective.
Smelly.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Adjective.
Dark.
Wait, throw it to Tuffley.
That worked out so well the last time.
Tuffley, man, you've got to play along, or you'll be voted off the island of Misfits Boys.
A plural noun.
There you go, Tuffley. That's an easy one.
Shoes.
A noun.
Hairdresser.
Isn't that a
problem? Or hair.
Last name of a person in the room.
Tuffley.
Last name of a person in room. Huh? Tuffley?
Campbell. He was the last person in the room.
All right. I'll take that.
See, I'm paying attention.
Noun?
Helicopter.
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 And a verb.
Quickly.
Throw.
No.
Throw?
Yeah.
Crow.
What?
Wait, what?
Crow.
You say crow. No, for a verb. I said throw.
Oh, throw. I thought you said crow. But you can't crow.
Enunciate.
All right, here we go.
I'm sorry, did you say pay attention?
Okay, start now.
You know what? We'll save it. We'll save it for later. We'll do it
Why?
Later. It's a teaser. It's a teaser. Nobody will know what it is until later.
I certainly don't know what it is. I just showed up. What the fuck's happening?
We will forget about it.
Then we'll do it next week.
Oh, man.
What are we doing?
Mad Libs.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Not just any Mad Libs. Star Wars Mad
Libs. Yes, we degraded so quickly that we needed to do unearthed.
We needed team
Star
building.
Star Wars Mad Libs.
We need team building.
Isn't Star Wars itself already a Mad Lib?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, what's interesting is I heard that they were contacting people to do Star Wars Mad Libs, and everyone was turning them down. So did we agree to do it? Is that what it is? Guillermo del Toro yes. said no, and now it's us. We're next on the list.
Yeah, you're going to get that big Disney money now. They paid like about 5% lower than scale.
Well, to be fair,
and by
to
scale,
del Toro,
I mean fish's scales.
To be fair to Del Toro, it's not the fact that he said no. It's just the fact that he gave Disney a number.
Oh, really?
You know, like waiting in line number 82 with the number of projects he's got.
I thought you said, oh, well, he's so that'll be $75 million, and that's just for me.
No, literally a waiting number for the project.
So, do you think like he has like one of those ticket machines that like delis have? Serving 72. Ah, good to see you, Paramount. Same order.
Oh my God, is that Doc? Doc, is that you?
He's popping on before Hockey comes back, and then we lose him again.
Okay.
Ooh. Is it really good? It's not really going to come back.
Oh, what was that?
Yes, sorry. It is.
Put your headphones back on.
They are on.
Okay.
Someone needs to wrangle these cats.
Cat wrangling.
Well, there are 8 out of 10 of them.
Yeah.
If Doc is talking, we can't hear.
I know.
Much like every episode that he's been on.
Hello?
He's been on.
Oh, there he is. Hey! Doc Desper, ladies and gentlemen. Although I'm echoing back to John.
Man, that calls for a beer. I'll be right back.
I got a beer, but you know the terrifying thing right now is I can't find my bottle opener. It's been so long since I've been up here.
Wow. Oh, I'm echoing. Why am I echoing for you, John?
I don't know. I don't hear you echoing.
We're at a drive-in theater.
And Rox is echoing back to herself.
Yeah.
It's the Pink Floyd effect.
And Tuffley's echoing back to himself. How weird.
Yeah, that I usually do.
And weirdly, Doc is not really here, actually.
Say what?
What?
Just a figment of your imagination. Nobody else hears Doc except for you.
But I see him! Oh, this is just echoing. It's going to be crazy. Let me try and jump out and come back in, John, I guess.
No.
Well, it's not just
yes.
you.
What? What?
It's not just you.
It's okay. Everybody.
So, John, fix.
Wow, I haven't even had anything yet. And so
my
everybody's
God,
kinda...
it's like a Del Toro film.
You all sound fine to me.
Audio. Okay.
I think he called the number for Weekend Justice.
Oh, now it's fine.
I guess.
John, what'd you change?
I looked at the screen.
Ah, so it's basically Schrodinger's Skype problem.
So you mean it's yes. a Skype problem?
By measuring it, he the waveform collapsed and now it works.
That is true.
Yeah, you know,
so I really need a bottle opener.
Well, hey John, hang on. I'll hand you this one when I'm done with it. 1 second.
All right,
there we go.
All right.
There you go.
Thanks, buddy. So what are you drinking, Wage?
I am drinking a Boulevard. I think this is my last Boulevard Oktoberfest.
Oh, speaking of that, when I was in Portland at Christmas, It was a couple days after Christmas, and Dr. Jen and I were meeting some friends for sushi, but we needed to kill about a half hour, so we swung into a Morton's Steakhouse to grab a drink, and I saw that they had Sam Adams seasonal, and I was like, yeah, okay, I'll go ahead and have that. And the guy's like, oh, well, I'm kind of sorry. We still have Oktoberfest. I'm like, really? You still have Oktoberfest? How many do you have?
Oh, dear. We're echoing again.
Echoing again.
The passion of Serb's love of Oktoberfest.
Tim manifested
Skype
it
over the edge.
It was fantastic.
This anecdote brought to you by Morton's Steakhouse.
Yeah. And their older beer.
Please send gift cards, care of Weekend Justice. So, Doc, what are you drinking?
I'm drinking Straight to Ale's Leica Russian Imperial Stout.
I
love the Russian Imperial Stouts.
I grabbed one of those over the holidays, which I have not consumed yet.
It is a truly exceptional Russian Imperial Stout.
And the can is so huge. That's why we're echoing. It's because we're echoing into the.
Are you guys echoing again?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're echoing. So stare at the monitor again to fix it.
You got to measure it.
Fix it, John. Use your scanner-like abilities.
I'm looking at it now.
See? See?
There we go. Here you go. You can't leave.
Uncanny.
Seriously? Are you serious?
Yes.
Don't take your eyes off that screen.
Don't blink.
Okay. Oh, well, I looked away at my beer.
God damn it, John!
Hold on, I'm looking back at the screen again.
Now it's working! No, it's not!
I don't know what to tell you.
Don't tell us anything, fix it.
He can't hear it, how can he fix it?
So I'm having the Sam Adams Oktoberfest. Yes, that's right, I still have 3 left in reserve.
What are you, fucking Morton's Steakhouse? That's how many they had till I drank them.
Service is coming to your house right now.
And I can.
The call is coming from inside.
I know.
Are you guys still having your echo problem?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right,
let's
just, let me hang up and recall you guys all. All
right.
All right.
Goodbye.
How do I end this call?
I've
been trying to figure that out for years.
The big red hang up button, I think.
Well,
is that better?
Well,
so far.
So far.
Let me try my test.
No, nope.
I'm here myself.
Hello.
Yep, we're echoing again.
Oktoberfest.
It's not even a cool echo. That's the problem.
Yeah.
All right, let me try one more thing. It involves science.
Oh, shit.
He's going to stare at 2 monitors.
Talk amongst yourselves.
He's going to set 2 monitors to look at themselves.
Ah.
All right, ending call. Got to end the call. Is any better?
You are half a cup short, Widge.
Half a cup short.
Yeah.
What?
On the Django.
No, we're echoing. Still echoing.
Django.
Oh, really? You liked it 4.5?
Yeah, I did full price. I might pay full price again, and it's the fucking echo.
It's the Speedway echo.
Yeah, John, if it helps any, it's coming back through your channel. You light up when we talk. And I don't mean metaphorically.
Yes, you do.
Although you do light up his life.
Hello.
Happy New Year.
No, it's gone.
It's gone now?
No.
No, it's back.
Is it back?
But Lee is not echoing.
Lee, talk.
I'm not echoing?
No.
She's been talking. She's been talking when the echo has been gone. Next time it echoes, we'll get Lee to talk.
And Widge isn't echoing anymore. Happy New Year!
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year! We managed to get Doc out of the writer's room.
Yay!
And of course, we're giving him... My mom always said, never give anybody the right impression. And here we are with Skype screwing up. All right, Lee, say something.
Nothing less.
Always remembered.
Hello.
Lee, say something.
Hi.
Yep.
What's going on? No, I'm doing it again.
Yep, you're echoing. Just making sure you were infected as well. We're all infected. We are the echoing dead.
At least we're finishing the way we started, right?
Uh-huh.
We're finishing?
Yeah, starting.
What?
Starting the way that we finished the start.
Okay. Is this the end of Act 1?
Does that make any sense to me?
Is this a cliffhanger?
Is this the bit when you think you finished Castlevania, but you haven't because the house is upside down?
Oh, yeah, it is.
Somebody fell down the stairs. Lee?
I didn't fall down the stairs, but John lighting up when I'm talking to.
Now we're echoing a lot, but what's going to be great is if John can't hear this, so none of it translates to the podcast, we're going to sound like we're all on fucking drugs.
As opposed to...
more than usual. We're not normally having auditory hallucinations during this point.
Everybody, hold on. Doc, say something right now.
What?
He's echoing.
Doc is echoing. I didn't think he was for a second there. I thought he wasn't. So
no,
he's echoing less.
We're all infected.
Yeah, we're all fucked. Goddamn Mayans.
Hey, you at least got to have your birthday.
Oh. Yeah, because that's fucking great. Turning 40. Woo!
Oh, Serv, you turned 40?
It's not that bad.
I'm so sorry, Serv.
That's okay. I'm drinking and I'm doing some home dentistry, so I have nitrous oxide.
Nice.
All right.
Thanks.
It's Blue Velvet the musical.
Without music.
Well, it's a Rex Harrison sort of musical. I hear people talking in the background.
We're just slamming down the mics now.
Oh, no, those are just the other voices.
Oh, the voices in my head.
Hey. You're confused.
Yeah, wow, well, that's normal. Scott's what, sir?
Hey, that's pretty clear.
Yeah, that's better.
Can you guys still hear me?
Whoa.
Not really.
Yeah.
It sounds like you're in a jar.
Yeah, come on in, Boutel. We got ourselves a convoy.
Oh, boy.
I think it's come back.
Bye.
See, this is what happens when we go away for a couple weeks. We don't know what the fuck we're doing.
Oh, well, okay. We sound
like
better.
We were doing
just,
in the first place.
Let's just leave John in the box. And we
no,
can
don't leave John in the box. Then
actually,
he'll,
you
then
guys
he'll
are
play
all...
with his other little...
You guys are all breaking up over here, too.
But we sound fine now.
Right, but you're breaking up on my end.
Well, Lee's breaking
Wait,
up.
Wait, there he goes. There he goes.
But now there's an echo.
Now there's an echo back?
Yep.
Yep.
Go back in the box. You gotta be fucking... Go back in the box. So, go in the jar. Go in the jar.
He's married.
Whoa. Why do you want him to go in the jar? Are you going to keep it and freeze it for later?
Yeah.
Ew.
It'll get all sealed and stuff. It'll still be nice and fresh.
That's very Silence of the Lambs of you.
I say we all get a fucking beer.
Uh-huh.
Say we all get a beer? Because I've got
I like this plan, Serv. I'm proud to be a part of it.
Yep.
I have crown. Huh?
Again, we're away for a couple weeks. It all goes to shit.
This is like the
yeah, because it was also crystal fucking clear before.
You gotta admit, right now it's pretty bad.
I'm sorry, did Surf say it was crystal fucking meth before? I couldn't hear him.
Yeah, something like that.
All right, okay. Things might happen.
I don't know, but now I want to write an action movie script called Things Might Happen.
Great title.
Where nothing happens.
Oh, wait, we're not echoing now.
We're not what?
We're not echoey.
You are a little. No, I am a little. I keep coming in and out.
Oh, God, fucking Skype.
In and out, in and out.
And then the jar and out of the jar. In the jar and out of the jar.
The ants play pinochle in your snout.
What? See, that's really, that would have been creepy, but with the echo, it's even worse.
Scott C. in the Dwight Fry story. It sounds like John's like destroying a vinyl record on a turntable.
I'm scratching that record.
Now play it backwards.
I thought Lee was the one to scratch the record.
Backward masking, and that is a sexual innuendo.
Oh.
I'm trying to figure out what that could be.
Wow, I have no idea what Lee's saying. I mean, more than usual.
Well, she's practicing.
Were you guys doing this before I came on?
For yes. The back masking.
I hear... okay, so it's not just my fault. What?
Oh.
No, but we'll blame you.
Yeah, it's like... God damn it, Lee, you and your sunspots.
I didn't understand a damn thing you just said.
It's funny. It almost sounds like you said you didn't understand a damn thing I said.
That one you got.
Oh, okay.
Do we still sell transcripts of this program?
I know. This one's going to be a bitch.
We'll give it to you cheap this time.
The kids in the sweatshop that transcribe these things for us are going to be pissed. And I don't even have Twinkies anymore to give them.
All right, things are breaking down again.
Yay.
All right, here we go.
If we just feed the whole thing through Google Translate, it'll be fine.
All right.
Oh, wow. Oh, God.
Wait for the callback.
Break it down. Okay.
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 All right, so far so good.
Hi.
Hi, Lee.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello.
This does sound better. Now, wait.
Okay.
Wait. John.
Ah!
What have you changed? Let's put it that way. What have you changed? Have you done anything to this to make it do this?
Yeah, certainly, Scott. That would have been the last thing I would have thought of is to look at something that I changed.
I don't know. This is you, so we have to make sure.
What'd you play with, John?
Scott C. PD.
PI.
You know, I think the punchline here lies with wherever his bottle opener's gotten off to.
That's true. It's shorting out some cable somewhere. All right, it's fine now.
Yeah. I'm not doing anything different. Just sitting there.
How many monitors are you currently staring at?
Just the two. The two I normally stare at.
Okay, John, don't blink.
Whatever you do, don't blink.
Stay calm.
I think that's, what do you call it? Reference, Boutel.
That
show that we don't watch that everybody else apparently
know.
Does.
Whatever.
That's okay. I only just a couple days ago saw the Christmas special, so I'm off the wagon.
You're ahead of me.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, now I'm down to eliminating individuals. Hold on a second.
Oh God, I knew this would happen.
Oh, shit.
If you're chosen,
or is there some other process?
If you're chosen, I will call you back.
It's like 10 little Indians in the bad way.
I'm a C-list celebrity. Get me out of here.
What list? Which?
Is it still there?
Well, you are not hearing anything. To begin with.
Yeah, it seems okay right now.
Yeah, it seems fine.
No, it seems good.
Hang on.
So, it's Rocks?
Hold on. Waiting for it.
Stand by.
Rocks, how you doing?
Testing out.
What?
Everybody? It is Rocks.
Is it?
You are the weakest link.
Oh.
You are the murderer.
Hold on. In fairness to Rox, let me try something else.
Finally.
All right. How about now? Is the problem gone?
Still echoey.
Still there.
It's still echoey when you got rid of Skype.
All right. Hold on. Remember, because we test things 3 or 4 times before we decide that we're going to ignore the result. Hold on. Here we go. All right.
Okay, ready.
How's the echo?
Well, no, it's
how's
still
it
there.
Sound? Sounds still pretty there. Echoey.
Yep.
Still there?
Yeah.
Still there.
So it's not Rox's fault.
Is it just too many people?
I would have thought that too, but as we eliminate, first of all, A, not the biggest cast we've had. B, as I eliminated people, it didn't go away, so.
The vinyl recording of John is terrible.
Do I sound awful too?
Yeah, you sound like an old vinyl record. All scratched up. And
yeah, you guys sound scratched up too.
Well, that's
but you're not echoing.
All right.
Keep dropping people.
One last thing. Hold on. I'm going to have to do a reboot here. So that means stopping and saving.
That's important.
Because this is compelling listening.
Yes, it is. Okay, stopping the recording.
Who's echoey?
Hello.
Not you so far.
Hello.
Who are you?
Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Doc's having a problem.
Okay, but how is he doing on Skype?
I think that's the problem.
Ringing in now.
There he is.
Doc?
Yes.
Yay!
Hooray!
Amazing.
Sorry, it took so long.
One word for it.
Windows decided that, oh, you know what? Let's install 25 different updates.
What version of Windows?
Told you. That's how Windows works.
What version of Windows are you using?
7.
Oh.
You should probably get 8.
No.
I thought about it.
8. No. No, don't get 8.
Why? What's wrong with 8?
Well, 8's basically 7, except for this layer on top, and it works really weirdly if you have a touch screen. And that's the only thing that start screen is for, really.
That's the only difference?
Yeah, I haven't quite figured out. Yeah. That's it. That is the only shiny difference between 8 and 7 is that stupid start screen.
Oh.
8 was a GUI redesign, so it looked more like the Xbox.
Yeah.
Well, which
also
shame,
looks like Windows Phone and tablet. And...
Yeah.
I fucking hate Windows Phone.
Well, I got Windows 8 on my new computer.
You got a new computer, Scott.
Yes, thank God.
You replaced the Etch-a-Sketch.
Yes.
Awesome.
That was his tablet.
And guess what I did?
That's just what we told him, sir. Yeah, what's
and
Scott?
Guess what I did?
Downloaded porn.
Well, that's
besides
a
that.
Given. No,
that's a given. Are we surprised?
I said, exactly.
Yes.
No, hold on, hold on. Shh.
All right, what?
I
hold on, I gotta test something real quick. Is there echo still?
No.
No.
Okay, good.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow. And he was about
to... What the hell?
Nothing. What?
What?
Where'd you go, Scott?
That dropped. And I was going to say that I bought it through needcoffee.com/Amazon.
Oh, Scott.
Yay.
You are a wonder among men.
So and that should be showing up on whatever, you know, thing that says, you know, what people bought through Amazon, newcoffee.amazon or whatever it is.
I'll look it up on my Etch-a-Sketch.
Cool.
Excellent.
It is so nice. I mean, my old one, the fan, like, ran constantly, but this thing's, like, barely ticking over. It's wonderful.
Nice. So is it a... Is it got a multi GUI megaflop type of processor thing?
Didn't you used to write for like help desks or something?
I'm a process guy. And A, I'm a process guy, which means it doesn't fucking matter what it is. I know how processes work. And two, I have long since, it's been a long time since I've been paid to give a shit. So therefore, no shits have been given.
It's a 3.4 giga whatever processor, yes.
Oh, and by the way, John, processor speeds mean even less now than they did when I was active. Oh, well, it's
I just wanted to read your
gigahertz quad core, you know, thing with a, you know, with a giant parrot built into it and waffles.
Which is documentation is, well, the guy typed something in. Flops and mega thingies happen.
Waffles.
And then stuff is done.
That wasn't Widge's job. That was mine.
You said waffles, not falafels, right?
The falafels was
either
a different
would be
model.
Delicious.
I'd take falafel over waffle.
That would have been earlier versions of Matt.
What about John Stossel?
Oh, no. Yeah. No, we take...
He's
no,
not the one on To Catch a Predator, right?
No.
Because I definitely wouldn't take him.
Is To Catch a Predator the Uwe Boll adaptation of To Kill a Mockingbird? Because that would be really awful.
It's, yeah, it's the one that's actually, it's To Catch a Predator versus Aliens.
To Catch a Predator Alien.
God.
So,
can you imagine that film? You know, you set it up and an alien comes in and you know, somehow you have to wrangle it to the side so you can interview it before you die.
See, Rox, I just figured you'd have like a really big box with a stick and then like, and like, you know, a human child in the box as bait.
Oh,
don't do that. I was drinking. I could have died.
Sorry. I don't mean to laugh at your near-death experience. Did you see a light?
No.
Oh, shit.
By the way, I agree with Sir.
I'm not going there.
Would you are half a cup short.
Oh, really? Oh,
yes.
Good.
Yes.
I honestly think of all of his films, that is the most near-perfect one he's done.
Really? Wow. See, I really enjoyed Kill Bill 1. Like, really fucking
I have yet to be able to sit through either of the Kill Bills.
Well,
they
the problem with Kill
nuts.
Bill 2 is it
I
is
don't
the
think
second...
we can be friends anymore.
I'm waiting for, and I'm sure he's been busy working on shit like this, but it's like they were supposed to put out a reconstructed full-on Kill Bill release as one film, and unfortunately by itself the second part is not as solid as the first part on its own, but the first one I thought was fucking amazing. But no, I thought Django, I enjoyed Django a lot, especially because of, like I said, the cast, and I think Christoph Waltz needs to be in fucking everything.
Uh-huh.
He's fantastic.
Well, now yeah. that Tarantino's got him, he probably will be.
I'm okay with that. I'm totally fine with that.
Yeah, Christoph Waltz is fantastic.
He was the only good part of Inglourious Basterds, so.
Yeah, and he was, he...
Now
he
I don't think we can be friends anymore.
Django.
What the hell's going on with you people?
You barely know us.
See, Doc, my problem with Bastards was that I thought it needed to be a lot shorter or a hell of a lot longer because he just didn't follow up on anything he was doing. And I felt cheated. It's like you do the whole introduction montage for two of your bastards and then you forget the others exist. And then at the end, it's like, what happened to the other guys?
But in defense of that, isn't that kind of what they did with the Dirty Dozen too?
Yes.
I mean, they kind of introduced a couple of folks and then there's 12 more guys.
Then there's Smitty and that other guy.
Really. No, I think they cut each one relatively short for Dirty Dozen because I like that film. But no, they kind of gave everybody a little, you know.
They had something to do.
Something
I mean,
to do.
At least something to do. But no, I just thought he was trying to tell two stories in the same film and didn't do either of them justice. And I don't know, it didn't work for me for whatever reason. I wanted more of everything. Basically, I felt like I'd been cheated.
Well, he made up for that. He made up for that in Django because he essentially made, I don't know, like six movies in that movie. It seemed like.
Yeah, but I mean, they were all.
And that's not in a bad way, by the way.
No, no, no. I mean, they were all sort of blended into a single film.
Right.
And it was probably the most linear of his films in a long time.
I mean, since Jackie Brown?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. I think they only backed up like two or three times, and those were mini flashbacks of like a minute or something.
And you kind of need those for a caper movie.
That's true. But no, you should see Django if you haven't, Doc. You will appreciate it.
It's on the list. That and Les
Fantastic.
Mis.
Yeah, I haven't seen Les Mis yet. The plan is for Cosette and I to go see it and then drink afterwards.
Probably drink before. Then see it. Then drink again.
Probably both. Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, depending on the theater, you could just go in and drink during.
Well, we could just bring a flask and drink during. That's not a bad idea.
Are we that afraid of it?
No, it's not that. It's just that it's basically they put out that opening teaser trailer, which just goes, "Hi, we're about to stab you in the heart. Please don't move because we might injure some other organs." And then after they put out the main trailer, they put out the On My Own trailer, which is just basically them gloating about how much they're going to fuck you up.
That's true.
I'm like, oh, come on. We already know what's going to happen. Just fucking leave us in peace.
All right. So let me ask you this, because I've been putting off seeing it myself. One of my past theater friends, she put out a post on Facebook, and she was basically complaining about the fact that, you know, A, everyone looks like they belong in that era. Everyone's beat up, dirty. It's like a two-hour ad for herpes. And her point was is that when we go to see musicals, specifically Les Mis, specifically one that's loved so much, we like our chorus to be a little dirty, but not to the point where we're actually, you know, horrified.
Breaking out
them.
The hand sanitizer.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know what show she's been seeing, but I mean, that's that and Sweeney Todd are basically like, I've never heard anybody say, "Oh, that chorus and Sweeney Todd, can somebody clean them up a little bit?"
No, that's my point.
Yeah, I think she's high, is what I think. I think she's been to Morton's. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
And then that's been my problem with most movies like that, like the previous Les Mis that they did with Jeffrey Rush and
it was too clean.
Liam Neeson.
Yeah, Liam Neeson. Yeah, they were just they weren't dirty enough. I mean, it was just like, it's like, wow.
No.
You know, and let me say something. When Rock says that you're not dirty enough, dirty yourself up.
Oh my God. Okay. Since we're talking about kind of that time period, I remember telling my mom. And my mom used to work for box office for the Tri-Cities Opera back home. And they were doing André Chénier, which takes place during the Reign of Terror. And, you know, it's like, Mom, tell them that, you know, the people with the red hats, they're not dirty enough. So she's like, my daughter has a complaint, you know, because my mom knew everybody. And so they dirtied them up a bit. They're touching it with their little dirty hands.
Little dirty hands, I know.
It's like, come on, I know it's an opera, but, you know, dirty them up, rough them up, you know? They just
would it kill you to take
a head somewhere?
Yeah, would it kill you to take a powder, you know, a sponge, put some, like, charcoal, and just rub it on your face?
Right. Yeah.
I don't want to do that shit.
Well, no one's asking you to do it.
Well, I think the first thing for 2013 for the soundboard is going to be Scott saying, just rub it on your face.
Yeah, sounds good.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Oh, wait.
Oh, it's a child's in the room.
Oh, God. He's not talking to his penis, is he?
Again?
Wow. I call mine the child.
Y'all are all
kind.
So wrong.
Oh, wait. Just called us out for being inappropriate. Did that really
yes, touch? Yes, God. I did.
I want to lodge a formal protest.
No.
I don't think you get to do. I think your rights to do that have been revoked.
No, hang on.
It's already being added, Widge.
You got to remember, most of the Weekend Justices she's been on are blacked out because of all the alcohol.
No,
so
they
she doesn't
aren't.
Know any better.
Yeah, that's because Weekend Justice is blacked out in her area because there's a conflicting show on.
Yeah.
Well, because we haven't sold out the stadium in 7 years.
Yeah, that's it.
Wow. Okay, I'm wearing my cummerbund now, Doc. I'm prepared for the formal complaint.
I'll have to get back to you. I seem to have misplaced my bow tie.
Okay, good.
No formal complaint. Yes! Heard of all charges again.
Dear God.
I wouldn't go that far.
Dear
No contest is not the same as cleared of all charges, Lee. Did your lawyer not explain?
Semantics. Semantics! You okay. Can have it.
Okay, the company Symantec is not going to send us any gift cards, okay?
No, they are.
Ooh,
no,
that's good.
Oh, God. All right, so does anyone have anything to report on for Christmas or New Year's or anything that happened?
I renewed my vows with Elvis, and I got to drive three really cool cars.
Wow.
Wait,
how fast?
Wait a minute. You renewed your vows with Elvis?
Yeah, she posted
something you haven't told
Scott?
Us?
No, I saw the pictures.
Scott, I don't know how to tell you this, but Lee is married to Elvis.
And Elvis
See,
is still alive.
See, that's what I was wondering. You married Elvis?
And I hope you and Elvis are happy together.
You'll be fine. Yeah.
All those banana nutter fluffer sandwiches.
Oh, you guys have been saying Elvis. I thought you said Elvis, and it was like a Elvis elf impersonator guy.
No?
All right.
That was like 7 feet.
All right, what cars did you drive? Forget the whole renew the vows thing. Whatever. Just move on.
I drove a Lamborghini.
Yeah, really?
I drove the Ferrari.
All right, is it like really small inside? The interior seems, it's kind of
tiny little box.
Which is perfect for Lee.
Really felt
like a tiny person.
Now, hang on, Lee, are these actual cars or were you in the coin-operated cars in front of the Walmart?
Nope, went into one of those things, the world-class driving in Las Vegas, and got to drive them. Drove them through Red.
Did you go to the pinball museum? Did you drive the Lamborghini to the pinball museum?
No, I did go to the pinball museum, but I didn't.
Did
you
go through a McDonald's drive-through? Did you go through a McDonald's drive-through?
No, you don't get to do that either. You get to drive it where they tell you to drive it.
Now, Rox, what's hilarious is that Lee in a Lamborghini, when she pulls up to the drive-through, is she's used to that being at that height anyway, so it's fine.
I gotta tell you, that thing, I literally possibly was 10 inches off the ground. It was very, very, very low.
Although.
Of like a
dream. Oh, that's nothing. I've been never mind.
All right. So what was your top speed?
I got up. We of course drove the speed limit because we were driving in a national forest.
I don't believe her. But if you were to hypothetically have gotten up to a speed that was above,
hypothetically, you could have only done it for a very short amount of time so you could feel the cars pick up. Hypothetically, you might have been able to go up to maybe like 100 miles an hour in like 5 or 6 seconds. Go around some curves like that.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. Hypothetically, but they wouldn't do that because you'd then be breaking
the law. Well, wait a minute. Is there somebody in the car saying you're going too fast?
Well, they're actually, you're in a group of other people. There were actually... there were 8 cars in the group that were all driving together.
So you were in a convoy?
Oh my God, were you racing?
Uh-oh.
Convoy, it was awesome. And we had radios in the car too. It was a convoy.
All right. What was the other car? The Lamborghini, and then what else?
Drove the Lamborghini, drove the Ferrari Italia, and drove the Jaguar Racing version, the V10 one.
Really?
A year ago?
Did it break down?
It didn't, nor did it catch on fire, but I actually have to say it was the least favorite of my cars.
Really?
There were lots of really pretty things about it.
Oh,
lots
yeah.
Of really pretty things, but it actually had a terrible vibration in it. And it was actually really hard to, it was actually harder to control than the other two.
Okay, somebody mark this down.
That's good.
The vibrating thing was Lee's least favorite. I'm with you.
No. Just that she found a vibration that she thought was terrible.
and something was hard to control.
Yeah, she probably couldn't control the stick is what it was.
I'd find that impossible to believe.
Thank. I don't know if I can say thank you for that.
It's pretty close.
Well, the question is, was there actually a stick or was it a flappy panel?
Oh, see, she was flapping as it was.
They were flappies.
Flaps down.
But it's really neat when you get in the Jaguar. Not only does the seat move up and back and all that, it actually, there's a little way where
the seat moves up and back?
And
both
up,
ways?
And back.
Holy
and up,
shit.
And back.
Wait. Did it have electric windows anyway?
Yes.
You know what's funny?
So,
you know what's funny?
In so damn many ways, it was not funny. I mean, there was up and back and then tilt this way and there were so many damn buttons. But Tuffly, it's like the Jag.
You weren't driving a car. You were doing the Lambada.
No, I was driving. There's a little thing on the Jag where you get to turn the buttons and it like comes in closer to you from like the back of the car. The car seat like hugs you.
Lee, for God's sake, talk slower.
I think I'm coming pretty good.
But it was really odd. But it felt like it was hugging you.
If anybody's coming from that.
Oh, John. You know, I was listening.
No. You cannot complain. When you say shit like that, you're going to get a sexually suggestive drop.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was awesome.
Kind of missed Robo Sexual Lee.
Robo Sexual.
That's because Robo Lee will do anything we tell her to do.
Whoa.
Yeah, because real Lee, you have to ask.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
At least buy her a couple of drinks first.
I had no idea that
you
the,
have it.
The porno version of Real Steel would go like this.
You know, if you add in a foot chase, well, you'd have a William Gibson novel.
He's mirroring me. He's mirroring me. Sorry.
Those metal fists could do some damage, though.
Crickets.
Yeah.
Scott, you're on to a great year.
And the first crickets of the year.
Doesn't surprise anyone who earned them.
Mazel tov.
Oh, Widge, did you happen to legally acquire 2012 wipe?
Well, yes, I did. I highly recommend that people go out and find Charlie Brooker's 2012 wipe. It is fantastic.
And it's really interesting because you get to see that British television, by and large, is as pretty shitty as ours.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. It literally every single line is just a nice little bit of barbed hate. It's fantastic.
Like, I bet you especially appreciated him talking about Superstar.
Yes, that was quite terrifying.
I watched this like, oh, we're just going to have an aneurysm.
Although I will say that, as I said on Twitter, Tarantino has my undying devotion for finally getting me Jesus Christ and Sex Machine in the same film.
Oh, hey, I should explain. Superstar is a British reality competition show where people are competing for Andrew Lloyd Webber's revival of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Jesus
Christ. Why?
Because they need to put something on TV, and Andrew Lloyd Webber is a fame whore.
And it's reality TV, so it's. There's very little in the way of scripting that anyone gets paid for.
Although, speaking of Brooker, did anybody catch Black Mirror?
Yes.
I watched the first episode of it, and I was extraordinarily disturbed.
Yes.
Yeah, but in a good way.
Okay, Scott.
You know what I mean?
Scott is disturbed in a good way. Surprising.
Scott, that depends on your perspective. Is it your perspective or the pig's perspective?
Toughly, let me just explain what Scott has just signed up for. The premise is this. The Prime Minister of Britain is basically woken up to find out that the princess has been kidnapped and the kidnapper is demanding that he have sex with a pig on live television. Otherwise, the princess is going to be killed.
Oh, Scott, really? You like that?
If anybody's coming from that.
He likes to bring home the bacon.
Okay.
And fry it up in a pan.
This is called Black Mirror.
Yeah, it's called Black Mirror, and there's supposed to be a second series out this year.
Yep.
And actually, isn't Newswife or whatever they're calling it coming out soon?
He's been saying it's all white, but there doesn't officially seem to be a name for it yet.
That sounds dirty. It sounds like something you'd use for your butt.
Yeah, any of his wipe shows, Game Wipe, News Wipe, any
Screen
of his
Wipe.
Screen Wipe, it's all awesome.
And then I think we're also supposed to be getting at least a second Touch of Cloth film, which will be nice.
Oh, and by the way, because of all the fucking shootings that we've had over here, it's been making the rounds, the bit from Newswipe in which it's very telling, where he has a psychologist, right, who is basically outlining what you needed to do to make sure that you didn't have copycat killings, coupled with the news media doing the exact opposite.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
Well, if it bleeds, it leads.
Yes. Yes, it does. So his stuff is always really good.
Give us that dirty laundry.
Yes. John could have been an actor, but he wound up here.
Yes.
Mm.
I thought he worked in a mortuary.
I thought he liked backstage and stage manager stuff, not actual onstage stuff.
I thought he made pizzas for his friends, but...
Yeah, he did that.
Pick them up.
I thought he made pizzas backstage at a mortuary.
Best funeral ever.
Well, you know, you have a captive audience, so...
That's
true.
They
just gotta pay up. It's just, yeah, they gotta pay up. That's the hard part.
It does get hard with time, but that's a rigor mortis joke. That's not a sex joke.
That depends on which mortuary you're at and the state it's in.
That's true. I'm thinking of Morton's Mortuary.
Well, they have Oktoberfest, you know.
That's what I've heard.
They do in Portland, goddamn well they did in Portland.
Oh, where's that Oktoberfest you were saving for me? Oh, there's some guy came in and drank it all. We were at gunpoint. We couldn't do anything.
He drank it all in 10 fucking minutes.
It was incredible. I mean, we got it on YouTube, but oh my God.
By the way, speaking of massive quantities of drinking, Wedge.
Yeah?
I saw the video.
I'm sorry.
That was fantastic.
I'm so glad it entertained you. I never can tell. Yeah, Tuffley's talking about the latest beer venture that Big Dub and I went on at Oktoberfest, where we consumed heroic doses of beer. And it
kind of looked like Cora was just so in love with you people. It was so fun. Or just slobbering all over both of you.
I have to ask.
That's because she's trying to get the tail, the bits of beer left.
I sort of have to ask Bri, but was he interviewing Cora? I couldn't figure it out at the end.
Neither could Cora.
He almost had me sold on the, he's not completely gone yet. And then, you know, it's like he's trying to interview the dog.
Yes, it's interesting. I don't even remember that last scene being filmed, to be perfectly honest. I was so far gone. I think those snores were real. I think I was actually snoring.
I think
does Cora imbibe at all?
No. She's a dog, Scott. I don't know what you do with animals in your... Actually, I do know what you do with animals in your house.
She's the pig.
I'm saving the princess! I'm saving the princess!
She's in another castle.
Where's my power up?
You know, I think.
Yeah, we get it. We get it. We get it.
You know, I think when we revisit that footage, in the Behind the Music special, Cora's gonna need some time, I think, and some therapy.
Most of my dogs always like beer.
Oh yeah.
See, Serv, here's the problem. Is it sometime between when I had a dog as a kid, you know, and it was really the family dog, you know, and then getting a dog as an adult, they created a list of stuff you're not supposed to give dogs. Now, when did that happen?
Well, you know, the Rand Corporation was hired by the dog lobby to see, you know, how to make them last longer and, you know, more productive, and they came up with that list.
Well, it's always such a long pause after Scott says anything.
Because it's like a time bomb. We're just
to see what else happens after, too.
Cut the red wire.
That's right.
I'm giving John time to throw the crickets at him is really what it's all about.
If I was to do that, the show would be nothing but crickets.
Wow. I know, but I want to leave the gap there anyway, just in case somebody decides they need to add them in post.
There's an alternate title, or Nothing But Crickets. Anyway,
didn't it used to be like there was some sort of huge lag between Scott and everyone else? So it wasn't that we were waiting for the crickets, it was like we were waiting for him to catch up to us?
I distinctly remember Scott being in a time warp for many, many Weekend Justices.
Yes.
Well, that was when he was put into an alternate dimension to fight Ragnarok.
I regret nothing.
I know.
Punched a wall or something.
Yeah, really. Over and over again.
No, that's not what I did to the wall.
Wasn't that a special episode of Spaz House?
Yes, it was.
Crisis in Infinite Glory Holes? Sorry.
Can't be any worse than what they're putting out now.
Allegedly.
Oh, sure it could.
I don't know. Yay, Superior Spider-Man. I cannot believe that. Actually, yes, I can. Everyone was like, oh, I can't believe they did that to Peter Parker. I'm like, look, they're going to fix it before the next movie. Just get over it.
Well, no, they
And what haven't they done to Peter Parker? That's the thing. It's like these people have no memory. Good. I mean, how many times has he died?
Well, they've already gotten out because it's still Peter.
Well, technically, but...
I mean, all the writers have to do is forget that the other guy's there.
Or he comes back inside his head like, you know, Professor Stein from Firestorm. There you go.
You just made Shaggy a very happy man.
Hey, Firestorm's awesome.
The psychic battle between them of what bullshit.
Well, the best part is Shag will find out that Firestorm was mentioned, so he'll have to listen to the podcast. And we're like, I don't know, 7 hours in now, so. Or does it just feel like 7 hours again?
Oh, that was with all the echoes.
Right.
That was the time tunnel. It's okay. The vortex does that.
The mind trap.
Oh, my God.
Since we're throwing shit out there for Shag, Doctor Who!
Oh, when Rob gets here, I want to talk about the Christmas special. And
yeah, we should wait for Rob.
Yeah, and why it made me groan.
Oh, okay, then here's the cool thing we could talk about. Doctor Who? The dance sing sequence that was in American Horror that was awesome.
The what sequence?
What?
All right, in it you have now Jessica Lange, who was the head of Briarcliff Sanitarium. She is now a patient, and they give her electric shock treatment so that her brain is all scrambled. She can't remember her name. And this one other woman that she had committed is trying to help her. And she's like, do you remember your name? And for whatever reason, the one nun who has the devil inside her brought in a jukebox. And so this jar
was a jukebox.
Yes, a
whoa,
or a jew harp. Anyway, this jars her memory when she was a singer, and she starts singing The Name Game. So you can go to IO9 and see. This is great because she's now in this really 1960s dress, and she's singing the name game, and all of the disheveled lunatics of the you know, sanitarium are dancing and singing too, and it's awesome. It is the coolest thing ever.
You know, I haven't watched this show, but I appreciated it for the Ian McShane and the Santa Claus get up. So.
Oh my God, that was a great section. It was on like 2-3 episodes.
Yeah, just the Ian McShane and the manic Santa Claus thing.
Oh my God, it was awesome. Yes. So yeah, catch on io9, because you know, and the funny thing is you see the other actors, the ones that are playing the other inmates, and you can tell everybody was having a ball with this thing. It was great. And then you know, James Cromwell's character is now gone.
That's
a spoiler.
Yeah,
so it's winding down, but it's been a really good run for American Horror, and I think Jessica Lange will be up for another Emmy. I know for a fact she will.
See, you know, they should have gotten these people to do The Asylum of the Daleks. That would have been an episode to watch.
Yeah.
Do I really need a lot of Daleks sounding like Johnny Rotten doing the name game?
Right, yeah.
Well, no, you have Jessica Lange doing one of the voices.
Oh my God. No.
Who has
she can,
a small...
She can do a New England accent, but, you know, I don't think she can do a Dalek one. As good as she is, might be hard.
Lady Dalek.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a female Dalek?
Well...
Do they have sexes?
I don't know.
Yeah. Tough.
Well, other than the episode... Not really.
Well, technically, other than the two that appear in Asylum, no.
No.
So really, that's why they want to blow up the universe, is because they don't have anyone to have sex with.
Well, that's not true either.
Hey, just look at Congress.
I thought Congress had lots of people to have sex with.
Is yes,
that why
besides,
they...
oh, besides,
you know, I
besides
saw the...
each other, Widge, incest does that to you.
Oh, wow.
Wow. I don't know. I saw the best infograph. You know what Grindr is?
Yeah.
Okay. They because
it's a sandwich, isn't it?
No. You know, because they so track both,
I use it with my coffee.
It's a gay hookup app. Anyway, they could track like your location and time and all that. So they took a look at Tampa before, during, and after the Republican convention. And during the convention, the use of Grindr doubled.
I'm not surprised.
I wasn't either, but it still amused me.
It's like the, what is it, the Southern Baptist conventions, wherever they are held in a city, hookers come from just all over the country to take part in the festivities.
I mean, I'm not trying to be nice to Republicans or anything, but I mean, if you have a big event, like I would imagine Grindr goes apeshit in Atlanta during Dragon Con, and Grindr probably went apeshit during the Republic or the Democratic National Convention too.
Well,
I mean, you
no,
use Grindr when you're a gay person and you go to a city that you're not familiar with to find hookup spots and hook up with another
right.
person.
But
so
it's just, you know,
when there's
we're
a
talking about
big
Republicans.
Thing going on. Yeah, I mean, they're all assholes and, you know, I get that.
Well, no,
but
almost
I'm
a
just
lot
saying
of them are closet cases.
Well, yeah.
Like John. Just...
Yeah, that's me, certainly.
See, he's not tonight.
That's not even an awkward pause. That's an uncomfortable silence.
Oh, are we naming them now?
Possibly, yeah. I think that's what we're
doing.
Do we
need to have, like, defined,
mostly we
like...
just call them Scott.
We can do them like Mad Libs.
Oh, God.
What shall we call the silence this time? Adjective.
Info.
So, Widge, do you have any new and upcoming things for Need Coffee in the new year, or just the same old shit?
Wow, Scott.
Seriously.
That was an incredible ad. That was an incredible ad.
I mean, if you wanted me to write you out of the show, you just had to ask.
There we go.
I don't know. John, are we still having an echo problem? Maybe we should test it again.
Hold on 1 second. Can everyone
there
hear
you
me
go.
Okay?
Not staring at the monitors. Come on.
Hello? Test. Test.
Oh, it's gone now.
Oh, we're fine.
Okay, we're good. Just
there's the echo good. There still?
No, it's good. It's gone now.
Okay.
All right.
Well, as much fun as it is to hang around and listen to Scott sigh a lot, I'm going to bail.
Run away! Run
Love
away!
Love you all. It was good talking to you. Doc, don't be a stranger.
Happy New Year!
Happy New Year, all.
And, Doc, I think he wants you to write him a bigger part, too. Huh. And by bigger part, I mean penis.
It's only so much I can do.
Well, the Mrs. Doctor does, but anyway.
Scott, are you okay?
Yes.
Is your grandmother beating up on you again?
No, actually, my mother is here.
Oh, ooh, get her on.
Are you actually, no.
Okay, then get her off.
Are you actually inside the bag? Because...
Ha! That's not what? A toy, Scott. Get out of the bag.
wait, what's your mom doing there?
Oh,
she's got in the bag.
Is it?
Yeah.
She
what?
Felt the need to visit us. We're so happy.
She's going to put Scott in a bag like a kitten.
Wait, did you know she was showing up or she just showed up?
Oh, we knew. We knew she was coming. Eh.
How many months is she staying?
No, she's only staying for a week. She's leaving Thursday.
Uh-huh.
By the way, is she in the room while you're saying this out loud?
Fortunately, no. They're all in the other room watching TV.
What do they watch? Okay.
I don't know. I'd close the door so they wouldn't bleed through.
Although, get up. Scott, get up. Look, open the door and look out and see what they're watching.
Rocks. Did he just say they're in the next room so he wouldn't hear them bleed out? What have you done, Scott?
You know, Scott, just put a towel next to your door so that blood won't come into your room. Again, see, I help everybody.
Although, if he finds out they're watching American Horror Story.
No, that's tomorrow. Don't scare me.
They could be watching it on Netflix.
I could be missing it. Oh, that would be last season, which was good, but this one's better.
I'm not going near them. Oh, I don't need that.
All you have to do is crack open the door and look out. Come on, Scott, do it. Do it.
Scott, well, walk towards the light.
The other problem is the cable will not reach that far.
Well, go up and do it and come back and report
Ladies.
To us.
Well, here's what you do. You just kick down the door and say, listen, say hi to the internet.
I know. Or do what Tuffley says. Come on, Scott. I'm always outdoor reporting. It's your turn.
Hold on a second. Let me see what they're watching. Give me a minute.
Oh, God.
Well, that was lovely.
See, he will never put together that computer again.
Oh, I know.
Someone left it out in the rain.
Right, by the way, let's talk about him now.
By the way, he's actually going to do this.
I know.
This is an amazing podcast. Where in the history of podcasting?
He probably tripped over the pig is the problem.
I know.
Is he okay? So is he in the room now explaining to them why he suddenly come in there?
I don't know. I just told him to peek out and just see what they're doing, not go over and annoy
rocks,
them.
Rocks,
what?
Rocks.
What?
Rocks.
Scott, rocks.
Yeah, I know. Scott's not known for his subtlety.
My God. You know, on a whole, he would be the great spy because nobody would believe him as a spy or something. It's like, okay, here's a deranged man.
Okay. They're watching NCIS Los Angeles.
All right, Lee, is that a good show? Is that a good show, Lee?
No.
All right.
They're not even watching the good NCIS.
I think they watched that too.
Okay, well, that was good.
So they're all like 80 or older then?
Hey!
What? What did I say?
I don't know. I don't know, man who's breaking and can't run anymore. How's your body? How's your old 41-year-old body?
Breaking?
My penis works fine, thank you.
I think I think what she's asking is, are you broken enough to watch NCIS?
Hey! Don't go there.
I think what she's asking is, are you breaking or are you electric boogaloo?
He's broke.
Or are you a broke brickhead?
I mean, I'm broke too, because I'm 42 too, but...
Or quite possibly Crush Groove.
You know, I'm only 41, Ridley.
John, did you get 42, a bike?
You're 41, and you're already falling apart. You were falling apart faster than I was.
Oh, wow.
Well, to be fair, Elvis...
Serve is really...
You know, I definitely need to bring my grandmother to Dragon Con this year, because then she can show all you people
how to break dance.
You can be of a certain age and still be in amazing shape.
She is awesome. My mother is awesome. We've said that many times. We like her.
Right,
awesome.
And she would just listen to all this, and she would say, quit your bitching.
Now, you know what, Rox? I got
a
great idea.
I was talking about mental state for NCIS.
Yeah. Rox, I think what you need to do is you need to get Scott's grandmother as a guest on Help Me Rox.
Oh my God, Scott, can we do that? Only because, okay, yeah, we need another girl co-host. Would she do it?
I would have to get her up to speed.
All right, okay, what if we did this?
Why are you giving her speed?
Yeah.
John, can we talk? Shut up! John.
Come on, you guys.
Could we have
Blammo,
Scott and his grandmother on as an additional host? And then we could do a health. It's the new year. We could do a health, you know, people doing the resolution thing. We can have Scott and his grandmother, and that would count as two females.
No, actually,
we could, because I could be on my desktop and she could be on her laptop.
Yeah, we can do this. Ask her.
Yeah, but what would you use to call in? Oh.
404-382-0769. Call, and if you want to talk to your grandmother,
bless you.
Come on and
call. I'm so sorry. I was trying to get to the mute button.
Yeah. If you have
I will
she's a nurse and everything.
Well, yes,
she'll diagnose that
I will converse with her and try to explain what exactly all this is.
Just have her listen to a couple episodes.
Or watch them.
Or watch them.
Wait, are you sure that's a good idea?
It is a good idea. It's an awesome idea. I thought of it.
I'm going to be naked for the next one.
Okay.
No.
We can't see it, Scott.
Can't see it till later.
Now, Rox.
See it later.
Okay.
Rox, just so you know, an episode of Help Me Rox, I appreciate the fact that we've been talking about you staging an intervention for Scott, but I don't know if the podcast is the right place for it.
What intervention? I don't need an intervention.
It's denial! Denial!
First.
I think the problem with the interventions that we've done previously is that we used Grindr to do them. And I'm thinking, maybe I sent out the wrong message.
So, yeah.
So now Scott's a Republican.
Call in to 404-382-0769. And I am preempting this strike and saying Scott's grand will be on. If not, we'll just hijack some old lady from the corner and pretend it's Scott's grandmother. That's all.
You have an old lady in your corner there?
Yeah, it's like
she's okay. She's okay. Don't you know?
She always keeps a spare.
In her menagerie of hobos.
Yes. Yeah.
I will talk with her.
That'll be great, Scott.
Oh, I've got it. The spy show that we're going to pitch with Scott as the head spy. He's a head spy.
He spies heads.
Here's the thing, Lee. Nobody would believe. He'll flub it all up and they wouldn't believe somebody is.
I mean, you're looking like the Pink Panther and Mr. Bean. Scott. I mean, as a
there
spy.
You go.
Lee. Well, here's the thing.
I'm offended.
I said special. I didn't say inept. I said special.
Well, technically, you still could call it the Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Right. No, here's the thing, Lee. If you have the incapability of lying and stuff, you run into somebody will run into that logic problem that they always threw at you in school. You know, you have, you're faced with two people that one of them lies, and that whole thing, you know, that doc, you know, that, that sort of conundrum, that logic.
I saw Labyrinth. Yeah.
Yeah. Like,
well,
that.
I saw Pyramid Mars.
So you get somebody like Scott. Yeah. And it was on Pyramid. Yeah. Everybody throws that trope out. So anyway, we have Scott. He's the guy we couldn't, you know, and anybody that would meet him be like, no, this can't be a spy. Really? Really? And he would be the perfect spy.
No.
Why? Wait,
I've got the name for the series.
What?
You call it MI6.
Yeah.
I would, that would be fine.
The ones who almost
now,
make
Lee, it. What the hell is your objection so I can yell at you?
I'm actually, it's not, Scott.
I like the idea. Scott likes this idea.
Oh, well, Scott. Scott, did you just say, what's your Egyptian?
Objection.
Oh.
Well, I agree with you. First of all, Scott would tell everybody, and nobody would ever believe it. That is very true. I mean, I understand that kind of like double con there. But you're going to have to give Scott something, and then, like, he'd have to then go and, like, follow through on it.
I think, well, I think it's better if we make it like Police Squad, and even then he doesn't read the briefs.
Okay, that could possibly work. Toughly added that part to the pilot, that part we could work.
He prefers boxers, as I understand it. And by that, I mean the athletes, the boxers.
There you go.
Not the dogs, because he's got a pig.
Didn't you read his file? No, but I have blog comments about
Scott,
it.
I also think Scott would be that perfect. Scott, yeah, right. I skimmed it. I read the back. I read that first paragraph and the last paragraph.
I read the flap.
Yeah. There you go.
I saw the note where it said top secret and stopped there.
See, now, Rox, Scott would be the perfect person that shuttles the stuff between people, because again, he would be telling everybody he's carrying something important, and they'd be like, yeah, people who do that don't tell people, and he'd be fine for that as long as he didn't have to do anything other than just like drop it off somewhere. They'd
it's
be very good
if
that.
You have the spies pin a note to his shirt telling him where to go.
Oh my god, he's Paddington Bear the spy.
Or like,
if found, please return to
that's right.
There you go.
Drop in any mailbox and
yeah.
Or like, he's the decoy for the real spies.
Oh yeah.
Again,
so
then
which one?
So are you pitching a Holy Moses spy show with Scott as the fake?
They already did this for Spies Like Us.
Well, since you really probably would only do it to try to get laid, then you'd be the Chevy Chase character.
Probably.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
God only knows.
Scott's Gran on Help Me Rocks.
I think Scott's Gran on Help Me Rocks is awesome, though. I'll listen.
Yeah, that'd be great.
She'd be awesome. Mm-hmm. Tips to live forever and still be awesome.
Yeah.
I like it.
I will work on it.
All right, Scott, that's your assignment.
Okay.
All right. So Lee doesn't want to fall asleep on Weekend Justice, is what I'm seeing in the.
Aww. Okay.
So she's left.
Lee, how are you falling asleep? You were just yelling.
That's she Lee. Have you met Lee?
Okay.
Well, you
it's
know,
almost, it's like a narcoleptic. Ah! Oh, what?
See, you have to be careful how vigorous you actually shake her, because she can fall all at once.
Oh my god.
Yeah, if you shake her too hard, one of her eyes gets hurt.
Yeah.
Mm.
Get the patch out.
Go to Madripoor.
She made a resolution. Now, she didn't listen to whatever I say. It's like, I've told people, wait until after March Madness to start any resolution. Just saying. We'll all live better that way.
And you're not even talking about sports.
No, I'm not. Especially after the Ides of March. It's a dangerous day.
I beware them.
Yes.
You never know who's going to jump out from behind a potted plant and try to stab you.
Stabby, stabby.
Fucking Anne of Green Gables.
can't believe she cut her in the neck. Jesus. All right, so question then. Did anyone see anything else over the holidays? Because I finally watched Dread. I know only like 5 people in the country saw Dread when it was in theaters, but...
I think the important question is what you thought of Dread.
I actually enjoyed it. I thought it was really solid. I mean, it wasn't, you know, I don't know. It didn't blow me away completely, but it was exactly what it was supposed to be.
I mean, did Urban make an impression on you? Or?
Oh, yeah. He was Dread. He was really full on, never took the helmet off, always scowled, blew shit up. That's Dread. I mean, so he was perfect. And the, really the trailer made it look more like the Raid than it actually was. I mean, it was similar, but it wasn't just flat out the Raid. So it deserved a hell of a lot better than it got. I mean, I'm bewildered by how badly it did at the box office.
Well, I think part of it is because the only people's memory of it, the only people's other memory of the character is
Stallone. Yeah.
Stallone. There are how many masses of people are aware of, you know, 2000 AD anyway? You know, that is such a, that's not even Marvel or DC level of cult. That's beyond, you know.
Oh yeah.
Wasn't it and honestly, they didn't seem to do
competition.
It was.
When did it come out?
It came out in August.
Yeah, I'm looking.
And I don't remember.
Wait, was Eat, Love, Pray released at the same time? Was that that? Or was that something else? Oh, no, that was The Expendables. Never mind.
September 21st, and it opened against... it opened against End of Watch, House at the End of the Street, and Trouble with the Curve. So they at least placed it well enough, but the next weekend, you had Looper. And then the weekend before that, you had...
I would think Looper would steal the audience on that one.
Looper would, and then before that, you had Resident Evil Retribution. So...
Yeah.
Not that that... How did that do?
I think that one did well enough that they're making another one, I think.
It may... Okay, how the fuck? Okay, how the fuck? I'll ask again. How the fuck... Does Resident Evil
Which? I'm sorry, can I get another line reading there?
How the fuck, John?
No, how about emphasizing the?
How the fuck?
Okay,
does
thank you.
Resident Evil Retribution do 221 million worldwide, but Dread does, what was it, 36? No,
yeah. That's because everybody knows the franchise for Resident Evil.
Well, though, here's the thing that I think about, and you can ask the same question about why are there so many damn sequels to the video game? You know?
I think because they're cheap, just like the Saw ones. They're relatively cheap. I mean, there's, you know, I think I saw it like, what is it? Was this 3? This was 4, right?
What's the movie?
16.
6.
6? I think I saw think so. 2 of them.
I think it was 28.
On a whole, they're relatively cheap, I think, to put together.
Well, relatively.
They're getting cheaper, actually. This one was cheaper than the last 2 have been.
Yeah, mm-hmm. $65 million. So
yeah, this one was completely green screen, wasn't it?
I thought the last one was completely green screen.
How do the Resident Evil things do overseas?
Oh,
gangbusters, man.
Yeah.
Well, see,
popular horror franchise in Japan.
So I think the problem is with, okay, brain work. Dread didn't really have the...
Now?
Dread's audience is almost entirely Anglophile.
Exactly.
Yeah. Because, see, I would think the problem with Dread is sort of like Tintin in reverse.
Uh-huh.
Because it's sort of like, because Tintin didn't work here, but it worked everywhere else.
Yes.
And, you know, you would think, okay, well, Dread's going to do well in England, and it probably did.
No, it didn't.
It didn't really.
It didn't do well anywhere. It did $7 million in the UK. To put that in perspective, Shaun of the Dead did at least 12.
Okay. Now, I'm surprised by that, because I would think at least Dread would do well in the UK where people...
I know!
Where people who actually read 2000 AD are.
Exactly! That's why I'm like, nothing about this movie makes any sense. The fact that it didn't do well overseas, when even if you say, okay, nobody knows who Dredd is, the whole reason people do like horror movies and sci-fi movies on the cheap is so they can, you know, pimp them overseas and make their money. But it made no money. It's so bizarre. And its rollout here in the States was abysmal. That is the only film I have seen this entire year where they did 2D and 3D showings in the same house. I mean, even like every other 3D film I've seen at least had two houses, one 2D and one 3D. The reason I didn't see it in the cinema was I couldn't find a 3D showing at a time when I could actually make it over there to see it. And it was in theaters for like 1 week. I'm like, what the fuck? And it wasn't bad. And here's the thing. Critically, it's like a 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. So it's like
I'm looking at now.
It's almost like the producers were trying to create the sci-fi Springtime for Hitler and trying to make it fail.
And that's weird because it didn't even get a Star Trek bomb. You know what I mean? Because
No, what's a Star Trek bomb?
Well, because Carl's in Star Trek.
Was in Star Trek.
Oh, right. Yeah, sorry.
Because usually even films with the cast member effect, usually it works. Usually you'll get at least guaranteed some audience in.
Well, part of the problem there is that because he's Dredd and you never see his face, you don't get a chance in the trailer. Like I said, there needed to be a movie poster with him standing there in the outfit with the helmet off saying, just so you know, this doesn't happen in the film. We just wanted to assure you this wasn't Stallone. And I think that would have created a lot of sales.
I think if they had put on the poster, it's not Stallone, really.
It's not your typical Stallone film?
It's not film. He's not in it.
Don't even do it. No. But no, it was fun. I enjoyed it. It was good. He was good. Olivia Thirlby, who played Anderson, was good. Lena Headey was a great villain. It was good. And I mean, it's Alex Garland, the guy who wrote 28 Days Later. So it was solid.
So did anyone see the Evil Dead trailer?
Yeah.
Yep.
Does anyone give a shit about the remake?
No.
Nope.
I don't get it. I don't understand why. Is it just that Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell are like, well, listen, this is going to get remade at one point. We might as well do it and collect the money. Is that what they're thinking?
I would say yes.
Well, I think they're going to try to make the cheap cash because Oz is going to flop.
Yeah, as much as it looks great, the trailer for that, I don't buy it. Really, there's nothing for the Oz thing, and I've read all the books. I don't see myself really going to that.
The only reason I would want to see it is because of James Franco, because he's good.
He's great, yeah. But I just don't see him as the. I just don't see it. Just don't.
Well, that I don't know. Looks to me like it's going to make a ton of money, but
real.
The only people that know would see it are under the age of 50.
Honestly, I think Doc's right on the pretext that the style is great. And if anything, people love Wicked. And I think people, I swear to God, I think a lot of people are like, ooh, you have this Thedora. She could be like whatever, Elzebub, whatever from Wicked. And I'm guessing they'll get a lot of Wicked fans going to that.
So
it's going to come in as a PG flick, so it's going to get the kid business, the family movie business, and it's coming out in what, March? What the hell comes out in March?
It's coming out March. Yeah.
I think it comes out. Well, I think Trek comes out what, May 1st?
I'm looking right now at a list of what's coming out in the weeks following up.
It comes out March 8th.
And okay. I'm seeing a whole lot of fucking nothing that's going to get that same audience.
Yeah, because I think Trek hits the first week of May, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm looking.
Or have they moved it?
Maybe I'm not seeing it yet. It only got down through.
I don't know. Yeah. Iron Man 3 is that comes out May 3rd.
That comes out May
3rd.
Star Trek's May 17.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. There's nothing. There's nothing that's going to take that audience. They've pretty much got it.
They're fitting in a spot where there's nothing. I mean, there's a G.I. Joe movie, but that's not going to be the same.
No, it's not. Yeah.
Oh, no.
You've really got nothing to compete with it for ages. They got 2 months of uninterrupted, hey, there's not shit out because it's March, to go make their money, and it'll do fine. We're not in the target demographic, I don't think. But that's just a theory.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll probably see it again just for James Franco, because after 127 hours, I feel like that and him being the only good part of... Oh, yeah. Him being the only good part of both Green Hornet and Date Night with Mila Kunis. That was the only good part. What's that?
Who is also in Oz.
Oh, is
yeah.
She?
Yeah, yeah, she is. Yeah.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, I feel like I was like, well, I'll at least enjoy him. So. Yeah. Hi, Rob.
Hey.
Hey, Rob.
Tell everybody your good news.
Well, hold on. First, what's the Alex Garland movie you were talking about?
Dread.
Oh, that's what I thought. Yeah. Did it remind you of another movie you'd seen?
A bit, but not as much as the trailer made me think it was going to.
Yeah, it wasn't bad, though. I didn't hate it.
No, I enjoyed it. There was only one thing that didn't make any sense from like a, oh, now why did they do that sort of thing, which they could have easily explained. It involves Judge Anderson, and towards the end, for anyone who wants to know. Without spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, where you just go, no, how, they wouldn't have done that. But no, yeah. What's funny is Alex Garland is apparently tied into the collective unconscious. Because remember, 28 Days Later and Walking Dead issue number 1, were created about the same time with pretty much the same setup. You know, guy yeah. gets injured, wakes up after the outbreak is already over. Which, in the case of 28 Days Later, was simply because they went, well, we want to do a zombie movie, but we can't afford to do an outbreak. How do we get around it? I know.
Yeah.
And of course this with the raid. But I would say if you only had one, film to see, if you only had one time in your life for one film in which, the good guys get locked up in a building and basically have to fight their way out, see the raid. I need to watch The Raid again. Doc, have you seen The Raid yet?
I have not, sir.
Oh, Doc.
Oh, dude.
Oh,
dude.
Doc.
No.
Oh, to be you and to see that for the first time. I can't remember the last film where I saw it. Matinee. Guys pretty much scattered around the cinema, you know, watching. We were all there for the same thing, to see beatdowns. And literally just everybody in unison going, oh! Oh! Fucking amazing. So,
and it's also probably the last movie I went to in a while that I wanted to turn right around after it ended and go back in and see it again.
Yeah, it's literally like, I, you know, that was me with Taken. It was like, all right, do the sequel, just do give the same fucking movie over again. I don't care. Just do the same movie, take the script, switch around some of the lines, maybe throw in a different fight scene. I'm good. Just do it.
Yeah.
So, but like everything else, it's supposed to be a trilogy, so we'll see. But yes, I enjoyed Dread, and we were discussing the mystery of why it sucked so bad at the box office. Including in the UK. So.
Well, Well, they love that comic though, so much over there that I think any version of it they'll hate.
I don't know. I'm so confused, yeah. Especially because, as you know, Rox was confirming, it's like 78% on Rotten Tomatoes. So critically, everyone was like, "Hey, that's actually pretty good."
Yeah.
Weird. But anyway.
Yeah.
So Rob.
Yeah.
The one thing we were waiting for with you was to talk about the snowmen.
Well, wait a minute. Rob, tell them about Derelict.
Oh, yes, Derelict. The Derelict news. Sorry, go ahead.
First of all, Rox, I'm not allowed to play with you ever again because my wife thinks we're insane.
What? tell your what?
It's okay.
Okay, Rox, don't sound shocked. We all know you're insane.
Did the Zeppelin?
Well, you know.
That was perfect.
Let me defend myself by laughing exactly like a crazy fucking person. Wow.
Sorry.
Fantastic. So what's the news, Rob?
One of the things that when we
besides
talk
the
about
fact you're grounded.
The zine, yeah, no, which is fine. When we talk about the zine in Atlanta, one of the things we told people when we handed it out is, like, do cool things with it, because the placement of the zine itself is as artistic as making the zine, right?
Yes.
So a buddy of mine that I know has his roommate, who's kind of a friend of mine, who's in Antarctica right now doing cosmic rays research for, I don't want to name it because I want to get in trouble.
The Fantastic Four.
For an unspecified NASA program. And I made this joke the other night. And I said, when I saw him, I was like, you know, so if I sent him a copy of the zine, a couple weeks ago, if I sent him a copy of our zine, could he, like, read it down there?
He's could like, he and Sue
well,
read it?
Let me look into what it takes to mail it. So then it became, you know, it's going to be a hassle to mail it because it's just the mail is weird, you're under weather. It's just, you know, by the time that, you know, the timing, everything, like, okay, so what can we do? So we were kicking around ideas, and then finally it's like, so when I emailed him the other night, it's like, if I send you a PDF file of our zine, will you take it somewhere cool where people will know it's Antarctica and take pictures of it? And he's like, yeah. So I emailed Rox, and Rox sent off the PDF today. But basically, our fanzine is now on a NASA expedition in Antarctica.
Nice.
Which is absurdly brilliant.
That is awesome.
I was telling Rox that I don't think, at least no one publicly has ever said their zine has gotten to the Antarctic, so I think we're first.
We're first.
Now, what's hilarious is you can have them read it next to the ATMs, and the site can come full circle.
That's right.
Yeah, so today I spent the rest of the time on the phone with another friend of mine who does payload stuff for the space station, trying to get one up there, which is much, much harder.
You think?
But, yeah. Yes.
They're a little picky.
Yeah. So, Doc, I'll have you work on that for him. They couldn't do pictures today. We're kind of at the mercy of the weather, obviously, of when they can go out and take pictures. And I'm like, not sending some poor bastard out when it's minus 73 degrees to take pictures of, you know, our zine with penguins. But I'm hoping we get pictures soon. So.
That would be cool.
Uh-huh.
Can you have them get a
warm season in Antarctica right now, isn't it?
I think so.
It's as warm as it gets, yeah. But it's pretty cold still.
Well, yeah, it's still fucking cold, but
what I want is for somebody to get a picture of them stepping out the door with the zine, and the caption should read, "I'm just going outside to read this zine, and maybe sometime."
Okay,
thank you, Doc.
Have them get a picture with a polar bear too,
or a border collie.
Oh.
A polar bear reading it.
Oh, no, at one of the Russian, if they could go to one of the other stations.
Whoa, I saw that in a John Carpenter film. Not a good idea.
All right.
They're spread out pretty far, but there is a Dutch one nearby. I've already asked about that.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
Their ovens are good.
Dutch ovens. My wife doesn't agree.
Really?
I think you're doing it wrong.
Yeah, the conversation's like, what are you doing, honey? Oh, I'm emailing Rox so she can send a preview of our scene to Antarctica. Oh, okay. What? And then, yeah, that was it.
But
what you do is
insane.
You bribe the polar bear with a bottle of Coke. I've seen it done. Polar bears don't live in
Antarctica. I don't think they really look like that.
Once. I'm sure it'll work.
Yeah. Yeah, John.
What?
Killjoy.
What?
And by that, I mean the dishwashing detergent.
You know what? We can ship some bears down there if we have to.
Well, what we do is...
We would have to.
They have to go back in a couple months, and I'm getting, like, a care pack. Like, if they do it, I'm going to get a care package together of, like, just stuff to give to them. So, like, they got stuff to watch.
Sure.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Hell, I'll throw some stuff in the package. Let's do it.
Yeah.
Don't throw Scott.
Where is Scott?
Uh-oh, I bet she was called away by his mom and grandmom.
They put him in the bag.
They're making him watch NCISS, whatever.
The bag is not a toy! Anyway.
Step away from the LL Cool J.
Nice.
Hey, Scott. Hey, Rob. We're going to try to get Scott's gran on Help Me Rocks.
Oh, as a co-host. Awesome.
It will be. It will be.
Were we too?
Should we like Dr. Ruth?
Yeah. Holy crap. That would be awesome.
Were we too rough on Scott?
I think he likes it rough.
I think I could have lived the rest of my life not knowing that.
It's the only line I have.
No, I've heard the soundboard rocks. You have several.
Ouch.
What? That one keeps going.
All right, so snowmen. Did anyone besides John not watch the Christmas special?
I didn't because I'm 2 seasons behind.
I didn't because I have good taste.
Oh, so that means we can talk about it because you'll forget what we say.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I'm okay. Then talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean if Doc hasn't seen it, I don't want to ruin it for him.
You're not going to ruin anything.
Okay.
He's got a bit of a backlog.
Okay. You know, if you take some fiber, clear the thing right.
I'll put it to you this way, Rob. I just saw David Tennant's Farewell yesterday, so.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's probably for the best.
I'll put it to you this way, John.
I like The End of Time.
It did work for Al Roker, John.
Yes.
I did like The End of Time.
Oh, wow.
The ending to that was a little rushed, but the end of it where he's dying and saying hi to everybody was kind of nice.
Yeah.
But you'll see, don't worry, you'll see him again in about 7 months.
Is that when Doc's going to finally watch Fright Night?
It's possible. It's on the list. I'm not sure what number it is.
Put it way, way down.
Yeah, noted.
Please do.
There's only about two really cool things in that film, and one of them was in the fucking trailer, so. But anyway.
Isn't that how it always works?
What's that?
Isn't that how it always works?
Yeah, pretty much. Unless you're the Avengers, and then you put, like, oh, well, everything in this fucking movie's cool, but we'll put it all in the trailer, and you won't care because you'll be glad when you see it again anyway.
We'll just make five different trailers.
I've watched that movie I don't know how many fucking times. It has antidepressant qualities. I'm just saying.
Wow.
Yeah.
Have you messed with the like tablet add-on app they made for it?
Yes, I have. I really like it because what you can do is they'll do stuff like it's second screen, so it's doing its thing while you're watching the film. And you can do stuff like they'll show you, for example, they'll show you the bridge of the helicarrier, and you can like do a slider, and it will slide as you slide the cursor. It will take all the CG out in stages, down to the bare to where it is just the real practical stage, and bring it all back in. And they'll have bits of information. They'll have production artwork, thumbnail sketches, you know, storyboards. I like it. I was actually, after seeing that second screen, I was really disappointed in the Dark Knight Rises second screen. So, but no, I dig it a lot. And the commentary is fun too. So
cool. Yeah, that was one of my Christmas haul was the Avengers Blu-ray and the Captain America Blu-ray. So
very nice.
Yeah.
Very nice. So,
hey, I got a gypsy wire ward thing of protection. That's what I got. I ain't get no Blu-ray. I got a homemade from a gypsy, a wire ward of protection.
Oh, is that the Ultra Edition? Does it come with a digital copy?
No, but my friend got a curse from it. That's for sure.
No, Toughly, it's got ultraviolet, so it sucks.
No, remember how I told you my friend Carol? I'm going to throw her under the bus again. This will be like, I think, maybe the last time. She tells us at gaming that next door to her is a funeral home. And this funeral home hosted a 3-day gypsy funeral. And she was walking to her car, and one of the gypsies invited her over. And I told her, I'm like, Carol, didn't you go over? She's like, no. I'm like, when a gypsy offers you food, you go. Because
unless it's
not,
a pie. Unless it's a pie.
It was apparently Popeyes. You know, just go. Enjoy. And she, and here's the thing. 3 days and she didn't call us. That we would have gone over. My other friends and I. So, she took
this
picture. Yeah. Well, this was before the zine.
If the person presiding at the funeral was Angus Grimm, then that would have been amazing.
Holy crap. Yeah. So anyway, she found this like weird wire thing hanging that one of the gypsies made. And I think it's like a, I don't know, it's like a dream catcher or something. I'm like, oh, Carol, steal that for me. She's like, no. She goes, I'll go and take a picture of it. So she tells this story and how a caterpillar like fell on her and it bit her and she had to go to the doctor and stuff. Anyway, she actually stole it for me. So
wait,
she's
wait, wait.
Kept this. What?
You have an item stolen from gypsies.
Yes. But she stole it, so she's got.
All right, this podcast is over.
Yeah, we all need to
go. We're going.
This is how Steven Seagal movies begin.
It is. But you know what? I've had it now for 3 weeks, and nothing's happened. Because she
I'm sure it'll be fine. What could possibly go wrong?
Nothing.
Rock, you've seen way too many horror movies for this.
Is this your new weight loss program? Man.
It is my new weight loss.
Thinner.
Anyway, she got the curse, not me. But she gave it to me in good faith.
Wait,
so
you stole something that was stolen?
She stole something that was stolen. She gave it to me freely. There's a difference.
Didn't you encourage her to steal it in the first place?
Yeah, I did. But, you know, that's splitting hairs.
Now, is it stealing or is it technically regifting?
Now, Doc, splitting hairs, that's a voodoo thing.
Well, here's the thing. She took it after the funeral, so they were done with it.
I mean, what is...
So they left. They left. You know, so that's when she got it. What?
Fox, was she dumpster diving at a gypsy funeral?
Pretty much, yes.
Holy shit.
Because you know what? We gave her so much crap by not calling us. Because we would have gone over to this. Because you know what? Here's the thing. If you're going to have a 3-day funeral and apparently they paid this funeral home under the table gobs of money to have access to their funeral home for 3 days. This person, I think, was up there in the society of gypsies. I'm like, you don't pass that up at all. You eat that Popeye's chicken. If they tell you, hey, come on over, you eat that freaking chicken.
By the way, Society of Gypsies failed New 52 comic.
Remind me to email you offline later. I just had the best idea ever for the zine, but it's really a bad idea. So,
of course it is. I'm not going to get a curse for the zine.
Wait a minute.
No,
so,
it's nothing to do with gypsies.
You know the community bulletin board at the funeral home?
No, but I figure, you know, that when everyone leaves, we could have people take pictures of different people at the zine.
Oh, yeah. Well, we tried doing that.
Yeah, but they were living.
Well, No. That's a bad idea.
But
even I'll say that's a bad idea.
That's a different Craigslist fetish, okay?
So, yeah, I've got this gypsy ward of protection stolen, but it was given to me freely for Christmas.
Just not by the gypsies.
Not
by the original owner, which, you know.
I don't think you're going to get off on that particular technicality, Rox.
Well,
I don't know about Doc, but I just would like to say that I just met Rox, and I don't know her all that well.
Wouldn't it be weird if we were popular with gypsies?
Excuse me. Ma'am.
Oh my God! Hold on. Real gypsy does follow me on Twitter.
Ma'am.
Yes.
Who are you, and how did you get this number?
Yeah.
A real gypsy follows me on Twitter, people. Really does. Yes, she does.
Doctor just so Doom they can track your movements.
Well, you know.
I think so. What does she need to do now? Does she need to call Stevie Nicks to come ward them off? Is that how that works?
I don't know.
If it would get rid of Stevie Nicks, yes.
All right, so, okay, I got a Doctor Who poster of the Daleks to victory, okay? Let's pretend the Gypsy Ward of Protection doesn't exist.
My God.
But it does.
See, the problem with Stevie Nicks, Tuffley, is that it's the gypsy that remains.
Ah.
And lingers.
That's not the only problem with Stevie Nicks, but yeah.
That's one of many.
And apparently uses your bathroom up to the point that it breaks.
She makes Lindsay Buckingham go insane. Like he always does.
I think we can give that credit for a public service, but the rest we're going to have to hold her accountable for.
Yeah. So how about
just for fun, we should have Din translate all the songs of Stevie Nicks into Latin or Aramaic.
Oh yeah.
Now see, you say that, but you don't have to live here.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Robbed Levy.
By the way, Doc, I'm sorry about the Madonna thing. Really sorry.
What
Madonna thing?
Tuffley, did you have Din translate Madonna's sex book into like cuneiform or something? What have you done?
No, I gave Din the idea to translate Get Into the Groove.
Oh Jesus.
Yeah.
I would like the
Richard Cheese, Lindsay Buckingham, double act, Fleetwood Mac and Cheese.
How do you know they're not the same person?
Ooh, although I don't know about I don't know about rock, talent. But I almost want that for the zine.
Of course you do.
Yeah.
The zines become a black hole. It devours all.
Yeah.
Sorry, Doc.
Well, if it's good enough for Sonic Youth, it's good enough for Dead Languages.
You know what? You know what the problem is, Doc. The problem is that basically the gypsy took one look at Derelict and went, "Well, I can't top that."
These people are fucking themselves up.
I'll take the credit, though. I need the points.
Now.
Oh my God! All right, so Snowman.
I think our zine holds up pretty damn well in the real world, but that's just me.
If I ever get to the real world, I'll tell you.
Yes.
So Snowman.
It was okay.
Well, all right. So here's spoilers, by the way, for anyone. So I thought too that it was okay. I was just so excited to see Vastra again. Because like I said on Twitter, I really want the Doctor Who Power Hour in which they alternate episodes where one episode it's Vastra and Jenny and then the next episode it's Liz 10 and they just go back and forth and just tell those stories. I would fucking watch the shit out of that. And I don't know why there aren't like 5 novels for each of those characters out, right? Because I'd actually read a Doctor Who novel if that was the case.
Well, there is one. They put one out.
Yeah.
As a prequel to the Christmas episode.
Yeah. Oh, no, but you know what I mean. I did see that, but I'm talking like a full-on...
Well, it's probably not going to get announced until after the special, but they are looking into developing that as a series separate. That's been talked about for a while.
Yeah, they're also back like twice again later in the season, right?
Three.
They're back three times.
They're in the Diane Riggs story. And then they're in the finale, and I think one other one. I think they're in three.
Which, by the way, when Kim read that, they're in the Diana Rigg episode, she lost her mind.
Yes.
So that part of it I liked. I thought that Richard Grant looked as evil as I've ever seen him look, which was impressive.
Yeah.
I liked Ian McKellen. Now, okay, so you Whovians, my understanding is that this is like a prequel to some other Snowmen episodes.
Yes.
Is that?
Yes. No. I mean, it's a time
unintentionally.
Show,
so yes.
Okay. Okay, first thing first, Widge.
Yeah.
This will make, in the same way that the astronaut story made much more sense at the end of last season.
Yeah.
This will make more sense too, because he's in the finale.
Oh, the Supreme, that's Cree.
No, Richard E. Grant is in the finale.
Oh, okay. Wait, what?
Yeah.
Great intelligence, yeah.
Oh, okay.
We're gonna see Simeon again.
Okay.
Okay. And this all sort of started because they said, "Wow, you were really evil." He goes, "Yes," and it only goes downhill. And you know, like, what are you talking about? And then it got leaked that he's in it later. So apparently, a lot of the stuff that happens in this episode sort of sets the table for what happens later. Okay.
Okay.
Which we saw at the end of the episode. There were two Patrick Troughton stories with the Great Intelligence. One was the Abominable Snowman, where the Great Intelligence takes over a monastery, and the Yeti are basically these mechanical things that have little orbs inside of them that he controls, right? And that's where they got the Abominable Snowman. Then later in the same season, which was season 5, was the Web of Fear, which basically somebody takes one of the Yetis to London and put them in a private collection, and then they get out in the London Underground and have wacky adventures. And that story's interesting because it brings in UNIT, but it also brings back the Yeti. We have the Great Intelligence in that one. So that's where the London Underground stuff comes into play.
So basically, is the suggestion there that the London Underground map is something that basically the Doctor just gave the Great Intelligence the idea to do it to the earlier story? Is that the idea?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm still a little fuzzy on that.
I'm thinking because he showed him the map.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm thinking that sort of sets up Web of Fear.
Yes, but the other thing that's interesting is that there were two times in the last month of filming that a double was seen in a Patrick Troughton coat. So the theory is that somehow he's going to go back to the Yeti story, and they're going to do some sort of thing where he just misses the Doctor walking by or something. So there's no pictures of it, but it's been pretty widely reported that there's a double for Patrick Troughton running around, you know, with some of the sets in the two episodes that have Richard E. Grant in them. One of the episodes that's got him in it, and then one other one later with the Great Intelligence. So nobody really knows what's going to happen. I have a feeling he's going to be like the villain du jour of the season, probably, is the way what it's kind of looking like. So, and it would explain a lot, because the first 5 stories of the season, they had this the thing that happened in every single story of the first 5 stories of the season is at some point lights dimmed for no reason, right? So the argument that people are saying is that that's somehow the Great Intelligence, because if you notice, he had that weird thing, the lights kept going on and off, and there were lots of like lightning and things. That's one of the sort of rumor things going around about it. So he's kind of the bad villain thing, and at some point he's going to take on human form, is what we're guessing. So
are we going to get a live-action Ian McKellen then?
I don't know. I would imagine that he could take over the body of Simeon, which would make it more plausible, but nobody really sort of knows. I mean, they kept Ian McKellen a secret until a week out of the Christmas special. I mean, that's the thing that's really amazing, is that not only did they keep the Oswin out thing when she first appeared, they kept that under wraps. They kept people saw the press screening like 3 weeks before the episode aired, and nobody posted anything about Ian McKellen, and nobody posted anything about the Great Intelligence until the BBC announced it. And the fact that they got everybody to do that is pretty friggin' weird. I mean, that just doesn't happen anymore. So somehow Moffat has convinced the press to go along with a press blackout, which is just amazing. So, but yes, you're right about Vastra and Jenny. They're great. And for me, my favorite thing in it, I think I wrote about this in the column, is I love Strax. I mean, they just sort of gave him a whole extra dimension, and they gave him a sort of really great sense of comedy that those
that story sort of needed. And they set up nicely, by the way, the Torchwood Gauntlet. Did you catch that, Tuffley?
Yeah.
That was a very nice touch, the gauntlets that later turn up in Torchwood.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought that was nice. That was really nice. So, yeah, I didn't love it. I didn't hate it. It had some potential. I'm guessing that it'll make much more sense sort of later. The scene where the snowmen eat everybody or whatever was kind of hokey. But it's an episode you like more for the performances of the actors than you do necessarily the story, if that makes any sense. Because Matt Smith was great in it, and Richard E. Grant was great. And I even think, I think the new companion is going to be pretty interesting. We're going to have to see how this shakes out. But so far, I think they're going to do some pretty cool things with it.
So the one thing that really bugged me, first of all, it would be nice to actually have a part of the show where you felt like you knew what was going on and you felt like it's almost like he's bowling and getting a spare every single time. Going, oh, well, the score is really going to add up, you know, 12 months from now when I finally reveal this one thing about this post-it note that I put on the head of this droid who was making waffles, you know, out of Scott's PC.
I get crucified to this. It's like one of the problems I have with Moffat, and I think he's able to do it on Sherlock for some reason, but for Doctor Who lately, he can't write endings. I don't know whether it's because he's gotten Russell T. Davies disease or whatever, but the last batch of his stories have all been very rushed and very sort of sloppy with how they tie everything up. The Weeping Angel story could have used another episode. This one, either don't put everything in or do another episode.
I think it may be a mentality because Sherlock is supposed to be sort of deceptive endings, but aren't really. Yeah. Doctor Who isn't – nothing in Doctor Who is supposed to have an ending.
Well, and they wanted – for this season, they want the episodes to have the movie of the week feel. So if they have the movie of the week feel, they got to hit the ground and the pacing has to be fast. So I get that. But I think that the story – I have a lot of problems with the story with this, and that it just seems really rushed and really fast to me. And they were bringing in an awful lot really quick.
Well, I do wonder, though, because Moffat only writes two episodes in the next part of the series proper, right?
No, I think we're done with it. He wrote Bogus St. John's, which is the next one.
Yeah, he writes the first one and the last one.
Yeah, and then he wrote notes for the rest of them. The only person he gave complete free reign to do was Neil Gaiman, and he just said, I want Cybermen in it. Go. So...
Yeah, because what is it? Neil Cross writes two, Gaddis does one, and then Neil's?
No, Gaddis has two, I think. Gaddis has two. Submarine Ice Warriors one, and he's got the Diana Rigg one.
Okay.
Yeah. And I'm not sold on him necessarily as a writer either, but David Warner as a Russian submarine captain with Ice Warriors, I'm there.
Yeah.
Oh, and Liam Cunningham. So, yeah, I'm there.
Yeah, I think he's... I think he's decent as a writer, but I think he I don't know. I think he's setting himself, like, for example, second season they did Hounds of the Baskerville. And it's like, okay, well, let's just give you the hardest one probably to update, you know, of the ones that we're going to do. Because that one, I was sitting there, how the fuck are they going to do this? So I don't know how much of that is him and how much of that is overextending his grasp, I guess.
Well, the thing that's interesting is when he's writing Doctor Who, at least for some of the season, when he's working on Doctor Who, he's still working on Sherlock, right?
Right.
When doing Sherlock, he has, for the most part, things in place for making Doctor Who. So he's got a break. So I'm wondering if that's part of it, whether it's just a workload issue or if it's just, you know, just the fact that he's rushing things. I don't know.
And I will say that the thing that I think really sort of screwed it up for me was, oh, an entire family crying together on Christmas. It's so powerful. I'm like, really? Really? That is like the corniest fucking line.
That was really the only cheesiest
Yeah, I didn't like
obvious Christmas thing. Yep. He stuck in the episode.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Yeah.
But that was the most obvious, cheesiest thing, that Christmassy thing that was in the episode. Because everything else you could probably get away with in a regular episode. But that was the family's tears at Christmas sort of sailed it over the
But I think I like the idea of the new companion. I don't understand. I share the same confusion that people were saying on Twitter of, next time we get a companion, can we have one that doesn't, for no discernible reason, kiss the doctor?
Yeah.
That was a little weird. So I don't know. I stand by my decision. I will get around to watching these when I get around to watching them.
Yeah. Well, plus you can just have Tuffley and I give you updates.
Yeah, you can watch this one. Don't watch this one. I'll watch the Neil Cross ones. Because fuck. Luther.
Yeah.
Oh, and Widge, did you hear, and just to jump off for a second, did you hear that Neil Cross is apparently developing a pirate show with Hugh Laurie?
No.
For NBC.
Oh my God.
Neil Cross is developing a pirate show with Hugh Laurie.
Serious or comedy?
Supposedly dramedy.
Okay.
So it's supposedly a dark comedy action drama.
Okay. Interesting.
But apparently that's on the development slate at NBC.
Cool.
Since the Munsters were kicked the hell out of Priority.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, that died. And I did see your thing about Hannibal. I didn't know that. I didn't realize they had added Gillian Anderson to that.
They're saying that's a hell of a cast for that thing.
Yeah, that's what makes me worried about that.
Did you get it? Weirdly, circling back to Doctor Who, did you like the TARDIS set?
I thought it was a nice callback to several earlier TARDISes.
I kind of liked it too. And I don't mind them going back away from the steampunky looking type of thing. To me, it reminded me more of wouldn't you say it's more like a Troughton type of look?
It looks like
kind of a Troughton Davis look, yeah.
Yeah.
It kind of has look of the old the last console room, which would be the Davidson, the last remodel they did, which was the Davidson console room. Well, yeah, but that was still the same console room, really.
Kind of, yeah, but
they really hadn't updated it.
No.
Yeah.
But
I was getting kind of, it was getting old, that whole Sanford and Son cobbledness.
Although I do think the darker console room sort of fits the mood, I think, a little more.
Yes.
In general, the show is brighter because of the anniversary. I mean, it's interesting how they're using color. And the credits, oh my God, the credits. I watched the credits twice before you watched the
credits. Honestly, the credits were probably my favorite part of the episode.
Yeah.
That was the thing that I thought that I really didn't have to think about and go, why is that? No, okay. But and correct me if I'm wrong, but there are pieces of all of the openings.
Yes.
In the opening.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, good. I caught that. Because Kim was
The Tom Baker thing at the end was great.
The Tom Baker thing at the end, and then you get a bit of the prismatic thing from the first two openings. And then you get the color one from the Pertwee opening.
The stars.
The debris and stuff from the McCoy one. And then even a bit of the McGann opening. Or the part where the logo comes at you, it's from the movie.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, yeah.
That was the best part of the whole thing.
So because I was trying to pick out, it's like, wait a minute, No, that is all the openings. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. They're gonna film apparently in London with the whole thing with the closed set.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Damn them.
Well, I do like the new companion.
Yeah.
I really do. And, you know, I'm hoping that kiss thing, I wonder if they're playing off, you know, how he realizes that she's the same as Souffle girl, that not necessarily it's one of those, you know, romantic kisses, but oh my gosh, I recognize you too somehow.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm hoping they're playing it that way.
Yeah.
You know, here's kind of a connection, nothing really romantic or anything about it, but I hope they play it up kind of that way.
But I know that if they do the 50th anniversary, they're going to film it, they're going to film in April. When they show that thing in November, if he gets his dream of not having anyone know who's in it until it airs, oh my God, that's going to be like awesome.
What do you mean?
I mean, what Moffat wants, I don't know if he's going to be able to pull it off. He doesn't want to announce who's going to be in the special, what roles they're playing, anything. He wants the whole thing to be a complete surprise when it airs.
But will it be like a complete surprise for old fans or like
I don't know. I think
new fans?
I think he wants it to be a surprise like Souffle Girl was a surprise.
Right.
Because
it would be really great because, you know, you get somebody like Frasier Hines, he's still around and he's
the two they really need to do something with, which I mean I love Frasier and I totally want him in it, but if they do something with Barbara or with Ian and Susan, I would think that would be awesome. You know?
Yes, that would be.
So my question is, and they've been there was something that I had heard that this was going to be a multi-part thing and not just one episode. What?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what I've heard too, but I don't know. I mean, it's literally the well has literally dripped, like literally up until like the special aired. You could like say, hey, you heard anything about the special? What have you heard? I heard this, this, and this. And then you get a bits and pieces of all that silly art. Wouldn't it be cool if they did this? Or wouldn't it be cool if you did that? Now it's like nothing. Like,
yeah, because you mentioned
BBC America's is quiet, you know? And the fact that they're releasing, I mean, their DVDs always sort of have a reason of why they get released at the same time that certain other ones come out.
Yeah.
Like, that, you know, it's sort of weird. You know, the Ice Warriors is coming out later next year, just when the Ice Warriors are coming back, for example. You know, it's going to be interesting. And if they do the Tron effects, it could be so great, but I just don't know. I mean, now they're doing something with all the doctors in the comics, and I'm betting Big Finish will do something with, all of the doctors except Baker, who I don't think in an audio will work with another doctor, but I think on TV he might.
Well, they could if he records it separately, because they're not all in the same room anyway.
Yeah, but they're all getting along, which is great. And I still think, I know I'm crazy, I still think Eccleston's in. So, because the three times he said about it is, you know, I'd kill you if I had to tell you. If I told you, I'd have to kill you. It's like, well, why don't you just say no?
Because Rob, if it was me and I was trying to hide stuff, I would go for the chaff approach, and I would just get everyone involved to say, oh, I'm sorry, I can't. Even people, you're just like, you'd start rumors. You'd be like, even if Idris Elba wasn't going to be in it, you'd ask Neil Cross, hey, could you tell Idris to like go out and say that he can't confirm or deny he's in the special? So you have like 75 people going, oh, I can't confirm. And everyone going, what the fuck? Who the fuck is actually in it? You don't know.
Yeah, I mean, they're not normally when they film, they invite people to come and watch them film. No, none of that. You know?
Nice.
It's, yeah. I mean, I'm a little scared that it's like, please don't let this be the Phantom Menace.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, wow. That is a fear.
Because if there's one thing that can turn Doctor Who at the drop of a hat, if it sucks, and like all the old classic fans hate it, I mean all the new fans are still there and it'll still be fine. But
oh come on, YouTube dimension in time, really?
I know.
Yeah, okay.
Well, you know, should that cancel that dimension in time?
Yeah. So, did we explain what this was to anyone? To Widge?
Who? What?
You know, okay. I think Widge is fine never knowing that dimensions in time existed.
Okay. All right.
Widge, just imagine a Doctor Who special with the cast of EastEnders in it.
Wow.
And a helicopter. Okay.
Yeah, that happened.
And all of the other Doctor Who characters with other Doctor Who characters for no reason. So it would be, like, in comic book terms, if they made an Avengers X-Men movie, but, like, Professor X is hanging out with Thor in 1 minute, and the next scene he's hanging out with the Hulk, and they don't explain why.
Well, technically he can't because he's dead. Oh, sorry, spoiler.
Yeah, but still. And then there's a really creepy bit where they use the computer-generated heads of Troughton and Hartnell. Like it was Futurama or something. That was kind of creepy.
Oh, I'm sorry, Widge. Did I spoil the fact that he was... No, okay, never mind.
No. You would spoil the fact if you told me that he was dead and going to stay dead.
I love the fact that I have this paper for this pop culture conference, and literally everything I wrote about it, he's completely went ahead and done. So thank you for making my paper more valid, Stephen Moffat. I love you. So, thank you for bringing everything back from season 5 of Patrick Troughton into the new Doctor Who, like I said you were going to. Thank you.
So now what you need to do is like do the press gang reunion.
No.
Nice.
No.
They're not doing anything more out, Fab. She's available.
What? I'm sorry. Who's available?
I said they're not doing any more Ab Fab. Julia's available. That's over.
Ouch. Did anyone other than Scott watch Ab Fab?
Wow.
Say what?
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Try the Veal. But yeah, and I think, Widge, did you see the prequels though? All the online prequels for the Christmas special?
Yes.
The one with just Vaster, the Vaster Investigates, oh my god.
Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic.
And the thing that I like about her is the way she acts with just her eyes. In her scenes. I mean, there's scenes where she doesn't say anything, that you just see looks in her eyes, and you're just like, okay, I get it. You know, for a character in a ton of makeup, she really gets it.
So. Yeah, no, she's very good.
And my bet is that if there's a spinoff, that's it. You know,
I'd be okay with that.
They're not putting them in 3 stories for no reason at all.
Bye, Doc.
Night, guys.
Bye, sir.
Well, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. Here's the thing that I would not be surprised about. I would not be surprised if they make shorter series of Who, and that way you're not breaking the spinoff rule, because you could have the other show in the space of the other Who episodes. I think that's really what they're trying to get to. If they go ahead with the spinoff, I would think you're going to see a shorter Doctor Who series. Number one, because obviously the BBC is trying to cut budget somewhere. And apparently doing a period show costs actually less than an episode of Doctor Who now. So it's
and it can be more of a mystery show than it would be a sci-fi show.
Yeah. And I think you expand the audience a bit.
Yeah.
And again, it's like I said, the period show is probably costing a lot less than Doctor Who these days. So
they could be in Torchwood.
They could be Torchwood.
Yeah.
That could be what that is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see that. I'd watch it.
Yeah, because it's really that or a unit show. It's going to be one of the two if they do a spin off.
Yeah, I'm thinking they went to all that trouble to cast her.
Well, I think we're going to see her again.
Okay.
But, you know, there's so many people that are famous that want to be in Doctor Who that, you know, at this point, you know, can't complain. I think the plan, I think the unofficial plan now is they're going to do the, what, eight stories, we're going to get the eight stories we have, then the anniversary special in November, which leads into the Christmas special next year, where he regenerates, and then we start 2014 with a whole new Doctor. I think that's the plan. He wants to be around for the 50th, if we're setting everything up for the fall of the 11th, it's a perfect way to do it. So, I'm just saying.
Oh, and let me just say that I appreciate the fact that Doctor Who is such a great gag. Please don't use it five times in one episode.
Yeah.
The whole Doctor Who?
Please,
for fuck's sake.
Well, it used to be that was something they'd mention like once in a while. Like,
yes.
Like the Pertwee episodes. They did it. The best time they ever used it was during the Pertwee years, where the Brigadier's like, my scientific advisor is coming to meet Doctor Who. He'll be here soon. You know, just that was it. And then you wouldn't hear about it for like five years.
Yes. So,
yeah, the worst thing they can do is give us his real name and his reason for leaving Gallifrey and some of that. I mean, so they can't really reveal a lot of that stuff. It would just not be right.
Well, that concludes the Doctor Who chat. We should do some recommendations. No, it's fine. I wanted to talk about it because I wanted to make sure that I wasn't the only one, you know, being all, you know, hard on it and stuff.
It was better than better than the closet thing. It was better than the Narnia thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But way better than the Narnia thing.
The Christmas Carol, I think, was still the best of the match.
That was the best.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because it was so inventive, you know.
Yes.
It was just really well done.
But this was better than the Narnia thing.
Yeah.
Despite the fact that the Narnia thing had Bill Bailey in it, but...
A woefully underutilized Bill Bailey.
Yes, I know, but still, there he was.
I know. They got points. But anyway, so we should do some recommendations, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, who wants to go first?
Well, we're kind of dwindling here, so I'll go.
Go, Tugwhite!
First off, I will start with a couple of things from the Christmas haul. First of all four thus far of the Journey into Mystery trades, get them. Just get them. They're good. They're very good. From Marvel. So, the Journey into Mystery trades, that are out so far, the fifth one comes out, I believe, in February, the last one of the Loki series. So get those, enjoy that. Rob, one of the main characters in the fourth volume called The Manchester Gods is Tony Wilson. There you go.
Can you email me about this later so I know to look for it?
Sure. Oh, yeah. And Phonogram, new Phonogram, hopefully next month. So
yeah, I can talk to you about that.
Yeah. So that's coming. I got a bunch of gift cards, and what I do with gift cards is buy music. So I got the Two Door Cinema album, which I've been been trying to get. It's called Beacon. Came out we got it in this got it when did it actually come out? I think it came out in like October here, right? Yeah. Came out here in October. It's called Beacon. If you buy the deluxe edition, in addition to the album, you get a concert. You get a live CD, which is actually quite good. So check that out. The deluxe version of Beacon. Right. I also picked up the album from Divine Fits. It's a thing called Divine Fits, and it's a couple of members of Spoon. And a couple other bands. It's sort of one of those indie group things. It's quite nice. I actually enjoyed that. It leans a bit more towards Spoon if you like Spoon. They're good.
They're good. Acquired taste for me, but anyway, sorry.
Nice, but they're good. And also, I got, I think we figured this out. My wife and I, Kim and I figured this out. I tend to like the folkier groups when they add guitars or when they stop being acoustic.
Okay.
Case in point, the Mountain Goats, the Transcendental album. I hate this band on every other album they've done. But apparently I like this one. And the same thing with the last two Decemberists records. It's apparently when they turn the amps on, I'm there. So, folk bands, if you want me to listen to you, get electric guitars. Apparently that's how that works.
Mm-hmm.
Or electrify your cigar box banjo or whatever.
I was kind of hoping it would get Kim on. We had Scott handy because I think if he was still making apps, we were going to pitch him a game idea. Sort of a Mortal Kombat takeoff. Folk visions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of Dylan and, you know, Bob Dylan versus, you know, Mumford and Sons fight, you know, finish him. Fight. You know, like Dylan's finishing move would be plugging. So I thought we I would pitch that.
All right, is that you, Tudley?
That was me, and I finished.
Okay, cool. All right. Thank you, Tudley. Who's next?
I'll go.
Go Rocks!
All right, it's for those people who are in hip deep in New Year's resolution to lose weight and stuff. And if you read Wheat Belly or anything like that, I came across a really cool thing, and it's from Pocono. It is cream of buckwheat. Okay. I know some
from
of you.
Little Rascals?
No. Oh, no, okay. It's actually buckwheat. Okay. Thing about buckwheat, it's not a grass. It's not a grain. It's actually a seed. It's a fruit seed that's dried up. Anyway, cream of buckwheat. You can actually get it on Amazon. And it's, you know, slow digesting it's a little thicker than cream of wheat. If you're a fan of cream of wheat, because I am, it's winter time. It's awesome. I liked it, but you know, I've sort of stopped the whole wheat thing a little bit. And this is a good substitute. So cream of buckwheat. And you know, you could put honey in it or maple syrup, and it's really good. Good for breakfast. I finally got around to this. I've had it on my bookshelf for a while. It's Confessions of a Prairie Bitch. How I Survived Nellie Olson and Learned to Love Being Hated by Allison Arngrim. And it's kind of cool. She has fans and they're called Bonnet Heads. It's very funny. She's a stand-up comedian. After all these years, she was a child actor from a family that were actors and stuff. It's funny, and it is, you know, it's heartbreaking because she did endure, you know, sexual abuse from her own freaking brother. But she really took to heart, you know, the strength of, you know, the villainous Nellie Olson, who, you know, no surprise here, was my favorite from that show. apparently, Rob, get this. The one that was really the bad apple on that set was actually Melissa Anderson, the one that played Mary, not Half Pint. Apparently, she was the one that had everybody scared.
So is that kind of funny. Make her blind?
Yeah.
She'd have that half season where she was blind and then they'd give
no,
her.
No, she was always, she was always blind. It was her husband who wound up, he was blind and then he, you know, got his sight back, but all of their children still died. in the show. So this is
it's I wonder why Nellie's your favorite.
Yeah. Honestly,
much about Little House on the Prairie.
Well, they shouldn't have tried to have kids on a dingo farm. Okay, I'm just saying.
It's a show I watched growing up. I actually read the books, but it is a great insight into the whole, here's a child actor, of what she goes through and stuff. You know, just even the gossip and stuff. Apparently they spent more on that Nellie Olson wig. I mean, like that, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars just for that freaking wig, because her hair, even though it is blonde, to get it to that look was pretty much grueling from the first pilot, or she wasn't in the pilot, the second episode, you know, that with hot curling irons and stuff. They just went, okay, we need to do a wig. And so anyway, there's that. And, you know, she talks about how, like, Michael Landon never wore underwear and stuff.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah, you know, so she's funny. And she, apparently she does perform her shtick about Little House on the Prairie. She's got her own website and stuff. So that's that. One of my Christmas hauls is it's not dead yet, people, but the Steampunk Gazette. The reason I got this for the holiday, there's the Steampunk Bible Encyclopedia one, but this is a different one. This is kind of neat. It's, you know, we're going to gear up for convention season. And I know sometimes not everybody posts stuff on the internet, so this thing is chock-a-block full of photos. And it covers clothing, optical aids, headgear, lighting, home stuff, transportation. And these are, you know, most of these are regular people, the photographs are really good in this. So it can give you some really cool ideas. The cool thing is, in the back, there's a classified. So this actually gives you places where you can look up online to order stuff and whatnot. And there's a really cool index as well. So like I said, you know, convention season's gearing up, and I'm it. That's it. I'm done.
Excellent. Thank you, Rox.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Rob, what you got?
Well, this week marks this is the School of Useless Information we're all waiting for. This week marks the 105th birthday of William Hartnell, best known as the first Doctor Who.
Yay!
Who trained as an amateur boxer and liked to ride horses and got kicked out of the army in World War II in North Africa by having a nervous breakdown. So those are some fun, interesting, cheerful facts to know about William Hartnell, the guy who played the first Doctor, who was also a bit bigoted, as they say. But it's the 105th birthday of William Hartnell. So because of that, I wanted to recommend a couple first Doctor DVDs, just in case you've never seen them. And if you're ever going to watch the first Doctor, this would be the next 6 to 8 months to do so. So you probably want to get the rest. Probably if you have any other ones to throw in, by all means, let me know. But I threw in my favorites, which are The Chase, which has the Daleks in it, and the Beatles are in it. They go through various moments in history, and it's
kind of
fun.
Yes, but you have to get the British version of The Chase.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's on the American one now, isn't it?
No. The Beatles clip is only in the British version of The Chase.
Oh, that sucks. Also,
Region 2, people. Region 2.
Yeah. Yeah, or other regions. Other methods. The Time Meddler, which is Peter Butterworth, is just a really great actor who played the meddling monk, and he's just silly and fun. And if you like Vikings, you'll like it. And then also The Rescue, which is this sort of weird throwaway sort of one that was just a lot of fun. And so I recommend those for him.
I actually like the Aztecs.
Yeah, well, the Aztecs is getting reissued in the remaster, which is going to be great. And putting that one episode of Galaxy 4 on it, which has been missing. So that'll be a treat in and of itself. I also want to recommend, because it came out this week, is one of the last two Tom Baker DVDs to get released, which is An Orgasm of Joy for fans of the old show, and it is a fully as restored as humanly possible version of Shada, the Douglas Adams story that was began to film, then they had a worker strike, and the whole thing ended and got scrubbed. And a lot of the script elements of it got used later in the Dirk Gently books. But it was supposed to be a six-parter of season, I believe, 17. And the scenes of Tom Baker from Five Doctors were bits from that story. And they've done just a marvelous job of piecing it all together. And, you know, it's the last collaboration of Doctor Who, of Douglas Adams, that we know enough to be used. By the way, speaking of Douglas Adams, The Snowman was based on a draft written by Douglas Adams, which I just found out the other day.
Yeah, it was the first draft of Shada.
Yeah, it was the first draft of Shada, which I thought was kind of interesting. So, yeah, if you're a fan of Tom Baker and the classic Doctor Who, you know, it's probably more for classic Doctor Who purists, but it's sort of like the last bit of not ever released things. And if you ever want to see the really horrible Dimensions in Time special, this would be the time, because it's included on there as well. So
hey,
I'll recommend that.
Hey, the Shada disc? Am I correct? And I read this in some of the promotional material for the DVD, but it does in fact have all the versions of Shada on it.
Yes.
So it has like the actual filmed one, and then the McGann cartoon, and then so it has.
Well, the McGann audio, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I believe it has.
Well, they did it as a web cartoon, I think, didn't they?
No, that was Scream of the Shulk. The Sky. I don't think they did a web of. I don't know. I don't think they did an animated version of that.
Okay.
Just began. I don't know. But it's the thing about the great new releases of the classic episodes is that the new making of features they do are all just wonderful.
Yeah.
So it's to the point now where even if the story is like terrible, you get it for the extras just because they're so interesting. So
who's in the commentary on that? Is there a commentary on the Shada?
I believe it is Lala. I believe it's Lala Ward. They don't have Lala and Tom together, but I believe they have Lala Ward and some of the other actors on there. So it also came out as a book this past year. Gareth Roberts, who was the director originally of it, pieced all of the shooting scripts, shooting notes, and apparently went through pages and pages of scribbled notebooks of Douglas Adams to put it together as a cohesive book. So that's out too. But Shada, it's pretty great. When I actually get it the next couple of days, I'll probably post a review for it, just because it's so awesome, and fans of the classic show have been waiting for it for so long that it's well worth the wait. I do also want to recommend a new book by our good friend Warren Ellis. It's called Gun Machine. It's, you've ever wondered what it would be like if Warren Ellis turned into Raymond Chandler and wrote pulp detective novels? Now you know. And let me tell you, it's pretty great.
Is this connected to his last book?
What now?
Is this connected to his last book?
I don't believe that it is. At least from what I read it, I didn't.
I think it's standalone.
Yeah, I didn't sense that, but it looks like it's a standalone. And it's going to be New York Times bestseller, which is pretty amazing. So, I really recommend that. It's great. Then, CD, I want to recommend, besides the fact that it's a great name, but I do want to recommend a CD called Yeah Right by Bleeding Rainbow.
Oh, I love that.
Yes, they're from Philadelphia. And the great thing is the album cover is almost completely comprised of collage art. So they do this like Fluxus collage album artwork on it, which is pretty cool. And it's sort of a cross between like a garagey indie sound and sort of a shoegazer sound, sort of like a cross between like Velocity Girl or Lush and like, you know, Bikini Kill or something. It's just sort of strangely noisy. And the woman who sings, her voice is just incredible. So, and they used to be called Reading Rainbow. They put out two albums as Reading Rainbow and never got a call or anything from PDS, but Carrie Brownstone did say, you know, you're a really great band, but the name is kind of bad. So then they changed the name to Bleeding Rainbow, which I just think is like the best band name I've heard in like forever. It's short and to the point, but it's awesome. So
it's a really good record. I've heard that.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And then another delightful thing that came into my Christmas tree. Two quick things. The first is the Pogues in Paris, live at the Olympia. And it is basically a two CDs of the Pogues in concert at the Olympia in, I believe, in Manchester. And then this is the full lineup of the Pogues that's been playing around. And then there's a DVD of the concert alone with that. And then an exclusive DVD with a concert from 86, two concerts from 86 as well. So it's a nice little box set of live music from the Pogues. Which if you've ever seen them live, it's just, I mean, you kind of miss out on seeing them live because Shane McGowan gets so loaded that you don't know how he can stand. It's inhuman. He may be the only person in the world that could drink with Lee and live to tell the tale. But, Pogues in Paris is the box set, and the DVD is multi-region. So you should buy it as an import, but still play the DVD, which is awesome. We're happy about that. And then finally, Rocks.
Yes.
London, A Life in Maps by Peter Whitfield.
Oh.
The Old City of London Maps.
Wow.
Yeah. It's all like, and there's stuff on here we could actually use for that, you know, that is the thing we do. because they are so well done. There's maps. I mean, not only does he explain the history of the maps, but he does like this whole history of like, London that Christopher Wren never saw, like all the stuff that Christopher Wren's plans for London that got rejected.
And, oh, wow.
South London, the bridges and roads, stuff on Marylebone Road, whole thing on building of institutions. There's a whole section called the Victorian Metropolis where they talk about building as a Victorian city. And then it gets into the whole stuff with the railroads. It is freaking amazing. So, yeah.
And when you say that thing, that other thing we do, you do mean strategic placement of Yeti, right?
No. Circle gets the square. No. Oh, tell please say hi to your wife too.
I will. I do frequently.
So, well, I don't. So you know. yeah, it was great because when I got the post DVD, I was like, ooh. Probably will understand why this is good. And the Bleeding Rainbow is like probably the closest thing to a new Sonic Youth record. From like, if Sonic Youth make a new their first record now, it would sound like this. And yeah, so I want to recommend that. It's pretty awesome. So, and if you don't have the soundtrack as well for Django Unchained, it's worth it just for the Ennio Morricone stuff as well. So there you are, done.
Rob, have you heard the Bowie record yet?
There's a single online, which I will probably listen to after I get done from here.
Okay.
I'm a little concerned because the people I know that really, really, really like David Bowie are not really, none of them have been really impressed with it yet. So, I'm gonna listen to it with open arms and, I think he's gonna tour. So,
should probably listen to it with open ears.
Yeah. I haven't heard that much yet, but I know the album's out in March.
Yeah, there's a single out now. The album's coming out in March. And it's kind of one of those things that sort of popped up like, oh, yeah, David Bowie's had a new record out. Like, literally, there's almost very little fanfare that it was announced that there's a new David Bowie record. So that is pretty amazing. That, you know, I mean, I probably had heard that there was one and just completely forgot. But, yeah, it kind of caught me a little off guard that there's a new David Bowie
record. I think it was a press release put out this morning. Actually, the album was coming out. Oh, by the way, it's David's birthday, and oh yeah, there's a new record coming out.
Yeah, and how weird is it that David Bowie, William Hartnell, and Elvis Presley all have the same birthday?
That is fantastic.
Which of these can come out of the deep south to make rock and roll history? Correct answer: William Hartnell. He invented rock and roll.
That's an alternate universe I'd like to see explored.
He invented pimp style. He invented Krunk.
Better that than Gangnam Style.
Yeah, he invented Krunk. That's what he invented.
Wow. It's terrifying.
He's down. Yeah. I challenge someone to make a, just for giggles, make a T.I. William Hartnell mashup and send it to us just to see what happens.
Nice.
So yeah, those are my recommendations.
All right, cool. Thanks, Rob.
And Merry Christmas to everyone.
All right, John.
And I literally did get a rock. And when I find out who did it, there's going to be hell to pay.
Oh, that reminds me. I took an image while I was on the road during the holidays. I need to send to you. I will do that.
Ironically, I want a rock.
No, someone sent me a rock. When I find out who it was, Lee, I'm going to get you.
Nice.
I applaud you for your Twisted Sister, though.
Oh yeah, no problem.
John,
all right. Wait. So, John. Confused.
Archer Season 3, buy it. The Tim Burton collection, sure, why not? Then you can figure out how to play the Tim Burton casting game at home. Done. Over. Go to some place to buy that stuff.
Yes, John. I think we really should do a home version of the Tim Burton casting game. With like a board and cards and everything. I think it'd be good.
How would he recast Home Alone?
Well, let's see.
Well, Jeffrey Jones would not be allowed in it because he's not allowed to work with child actors.
Whoa.
Not our fault.
Awkward.
Sorry.
Roxy, why did you feel the need to, like, defend yourself against an allegation that hadn't been made?
I don't know.
Well, I'm just going to go
because it's like 11:30.
All right.
I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Johnny Depp is Kevin.
What you do is it's Johnny Depp is Kevin, but you use the Lord of the Rings perspective shooting to make everyone adult sized with Johnny Depp shrunk down to Mac Culkin size.
Oh no, what you do is you do the thing from Captain America where they stuck his head on somebody else's.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
Sometimes. And sometimes they shrank him.
Yeah.
Which worked better than it had any right to, by the way.
Yeah.
So anyway, all right, John, yes, you're absolutely right. Needcoffee.com/Amazon, as Scott mentioned before, is the place to go. And so many of you used it during the holidays. And thank you for that, because that helps keeps the lights on, because we get kickbacks for everything that you were going to buy at Amazon anyway. What a deal. So for my part, I'll just recommend because it came out today, we're recording this on Tuesday, Dread came out on Blu-ray and it looks good. Some minor bonus bits, like a nice history of the character. If you haven't, if you're not as familiar with his roots in 2000 AD. Yeah, they talk to Wagner and they talk to Carlos. I'm going to get the name wrong. I get all names wrong. Carlos Esquiera, the guy who's the original artist. They talk to Miller. They talk to a bunch of folks. And it's actually really nice. Brian Bolland, they talk to him. So it's good. I mean, I would like to have had some more, especially participation from the cast and crew, but, we're not going to get it now, just like we're not going to get any more Dread movies. So fuck you people. They made no money. They tanked. The only way they could make money, the only way they could come back and do a sequel is if somehow the home video people actually went and watched it and did what I did, went, oh shit, this is, I totally missed this one. And I actually would have liked to have seen it in 3D on the big screen simply because the use of slow motion in it is absolutely insane. You may have seen the bit that they posted online. There's a drug in the film called slow-mo that basically slows everything down to whatever speed a phantom camera runs at. And they're shooting people in extreme, like, 4,000 frames a second slow motion, which just looks, as they describe in the featurette, they succeeded in making it look both beautiful and disturbing at the same time. So, really interesting. But yeah, so Dread, please check it out. It deserves better than the box office that it got. And if you enjoy it, tell a friend and get them to pass it on. Pay good sci-fi action flicks with lots of bullets forward. That's what I say. That was my version of the film. So, there you go. With that particular bombshell, I think we've hit the end of the first Weekend Justice of 2013. And I think just like most times when we're at this point exhausted and on the brink of more insanity than we normally have, we normally pause and we kind of just size each other up, and eventually somebody says Morton's Steakhouse.
Morton's
Steakhouse. Morton's Steakhouse.
For all yeah. your
Morton's salt. Needs. When it rains, it pours, so pour it on your steak.
Actor Joe Morton, but he doesn't have gift cards.
But don't forget the Oktoberfest.
No. Try. Always remember. Never forget.
The Oktoberfest at Morton's.
What were we talking about?
Morton's.
Steak. Oh. And salt.
Yeah. Actually, Morton's Salt House, where you just go and dine on various types of salt.
Ooh.
Oh. Isn't that Morton's Salt Lick?
Yeah. Actually, it's a French bistro, so it's spelled, you know, L-I-C-Q-U-E.
Ah.
Yep. So anyway.
There you have it.
And there it is. And
another fun-filled future to look forward to. Woo!
Of salt.
Of salt.
Yep.
Salt. So we'll be like that monster in the episode of Star Trek.
Ooh, yeah.
Oh, that one.
Salt.
Hey, when slug apocalypse happens, you'll be safe.
Yeah, this is true.
Yeah.
So yep. Carry some in your pocket.
Yep.
But then the deers run wild.
What, the band?
Yes.
Oh.
The running of the deer. Watch it.
Straight out into the windshield of your car because of the salt.
It's almost like baseball fever.
But with more salt.
Not like hockey fever.
Well, there's actually going to be a season, I am so thrilled.
I don't really know. I
don't really care. I know. And you can, and it's fine.
I mean, here's my question. Is like, are they even going to try and attempt a Stanley Cup playoff? I mean,
yeah, they mean anything?
They're going to do 48 game season. They're going to do the regular playoffs and the regular Stanley Cup.
But it would be like a joke.
And the Lightning win again.
Yeah, right.
I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they did win the last strike shortened season, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
Yes, they did.
Team did win the last strike shortened season.
Yes, they did.
Yep.
Maybe the whole hockey strike was engineered by John to get his Lightning to win the Stanley Cup.
I figured the shorter they made the season, the better our odds.
Not only to try to get the cup, but they also want Luongo. So,
hey.
Is that catching?
All right, I'm going.
Did we come up with a final solution?
Oh, to that thing.
Oh, whoa. No need to go to genocide, John. Fucking hell.
Wow.
No, what you do is you fake your own death by... Oh, never mind. Spoilers. Yeah.
Well, I'm over here in this bunker with Ava. What was I supposed to do?
But,
Ava Green? Week, she's kind of hot.
Every other week, I'm good with.
With Ava?
Yeah. With Ava. So you and John are basically trading custody of Ava.
Okay.
Trading. You get her this week. No, I don't want her.
I'm not sure she's going to work. Well, like Ireland, I don't think she's going to work with the everything fits in a box thing from you, from the Postal Service.
I need a little box.
Oh.
But who gets Blondie?
Dagwood.
All right.
Oh, I was going to ask you about this, Rob, because Kim sent me a picture of this. They have a Debbie Harry Barbie.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Who has one?
She saw it at a Target in Augusta.
Oh my God! You need to buy it
and write about it for the zine. And then I could try to do W. Harry, and we could put pictures of Barbie in.
You could do my weekend.
Oh, W. Harry is batshit crazy.
Wait, guys, hang on. It's worse than that. It's not just that. Hang on. All departments. So there's the Debbie Harry. It's the Ladies of the 80s doll by Mattel. Barbie Debbie Harry. Barbie Cindy Lauper. And Barbie Joan Jett.
Oh, really? So here's the question.
Yeah.
I'm sure the internet wants to know this. Is she in the full leather outfit?
Which one?
Joan Jett.
Yeah, looks like it.
Okay. Because I saw the Debbie Harry one because Kim actually sent me a picture of it. Where she's in kind of like in the plastic dress.
Awesome.
Holy shit. The Barbie Joan Jett one is current. Did this come out recently?
Yeah.
It is currently going for $94 on Amazon.
Wow.
Should have picked it up at Target.
I think I will.
So there you go. There's your tip, listeners. Pick up a Joan Jett today.
And then reenact My Weekend with Marilyn, but with a Debbie Harry.
Oh, Joan Jett.
It's such a different film.
That's a All different right. sort of Runaways, John. Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without Need Coffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
I can't hear you again.
That's because I wasn't near my microphone. I wasn't near my microphone.
This is annoying as shit.
What's that? Can you hear me?
I'll call back in a minute when I can actually hear you. And we can have a conversation instead of me just telling you that I suck ass.
Can you hear me at all?
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I'll take it as a no.